Davis Lerman.
Davis Lerman. Davis Lerman. Davis Lerman.
Davis Lerman.
Davis Lerman.
So in America, we have this thing called freedom of speech.
Nigger.
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 Nigger. Nigger.
Nigger.
Nigger. Nigger.
Nigger.
Nigger.
Nigger.
Nigger.
Nigger.
Don't say nigger. Say nigger.
Hey, that's racist.
We're supposed to be living in a democracy.
We're used to hearing that the USA is a cradle of democracy. And in case you might forget, they remind you at every opportunity.
This is not a banana republic. It's the Democratic Republic of the United States of America.
Embattled democracy.
A moment when our democracy was gravely threatened.
What does democracy actually mean? In theory, it's supposed to be the rule of the people. But it seems like around the world, in many different countries, many feel like the people's will is not being enacted, and they are not happy about it.
Manipulating the Constitution. Manipulating the Constitution.
Effing Jews.
This administration has financed a genocide in Gaza for the last year, and every day you're up there denying accountability for it. So, I mean, what gives you the right to lecture other countries on their moral...
So, if you have a policy question for me, I'm happy to take it. If you want to give a speech...
No, but, I mean, people are sick of the bullshit in here. I mean, like, it is a genocide. You are abetting it,
another question.
And you are risking nuclear war in Ukraine for this proxy war.
Plenty of other places to give a speech.
Davis and Davis.
This is democracy manifest. What is the charge? Eating a meal? A succulent Chinese meal? See that chap over there? He's got your hand off my penis!
Fuck it!
Get rid of the propaganda.
I don't want thoughts.
Try that freaky, nasty, raunchy, crazy stuff.
Davis Lerman.
How many effing Jews do these people think there are in the United States? Jews are the source of all the problems in the world.
I've had it with kikes.
Jews, J-E-W-S. J-E-W-S.
The root cause.
J-E-W-S.
The root problems.
J-E-W-S.
Can you see Jews?
For centuries, they've been stuffing their stomachs with human flesh and they've been stuffing their pockets with money, but they must realize that this war of vampires is about to end in international affairs.
Davis.
We see you, we're on to you, and we're going to call this out.
Davis freaking nasty.
Okay, you have your moments when you're a pervert, but you know what? I like that about you.
Try that freaky, nasty, raunchy, crazy stuff.
Davis Lerman.
What the fuck?
He doesn't care what you feel. He just wants to know what you think. Davis Lerman.
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 The biggest threat to America is this Lerman guy.
Just like that. And of course, we'll always give it to him.
It's enough to make you think. It's enough to make you think.
It's enough to make you. It's enough to make you.
Listen closely to the words of this song. I'm betting a lot of people never had the place they belong. Give them a platform for doing something evil. Better not look at me wrong, cause I'ma mess you up all right.
Somebody starts just for murdering people. Maybe doesn't it feel so familiar?
Fuck the Jews! Fuck you! Fuck your Holocaust! Fuck your banks, fuck your fucking bullshit ethno-state shitbag magic book country.
Jerusalem,
I love to play, I love to cause damage. It's what these useless idiots deserve. Soon I'll be praised for causing havoc. That's why I signed up to protect and deserve.
That's your captain speaking. I order you to give them all a nice bullet to the head.
Yes, sir, whatever you say, I'll play no one's
It's abject, absolute racism. It's total racism.
Anti-Semitism is at its core.
Davis Lerman and the Right Perspective. The Right Perspective.
Right Perspective.
And we have Ladies Night with Always Honest and Clasher. Here goes.
The first word is
always
honest.
You do you.
Women have always served to keep America strong and free.
Always
honest.
Always
honest.
Clash, clash, clash.
Clash. Clash.
Clash, clash,
clash.
Clash, right? Clash, right?
Clash,
clash, clash,
clash.
If Lucifer had a son, it would be
Davis Lerman.
This guy spews hate, racism, and anti-Semite.
Davis Lerman and the Right Perspective. The Right Perspective.
Right Perspective.
He doesn't care what you feel. He just wants to know what you think. Davis Lerman.
Yep, here we are. Okay, everybody. We'll go ahead to our guests. And, wow, we might have Kathleen joining us later. Who knows? All right, who'd like to go first? Always Honest or Clasha?
Clasha, go ahead.
There you go.
Hi. Hi.
Hey, how are you this week?
I am great. How was your week?
Good. Well, I can't complain because I'm doing better than I deserve. So the show material today is mostly going to be what Always Honest has put into Telegram. If there's ever anything you want to introduce, you know, don't be shy. Just let us know. You can always drop the link in this private chat to your right on StreamYard, you see.
Okay.
We're Always Honest and said hello, and yeah, there we go. Yep, and you can also chat in there with us, and only we see that. All right, Always Honest, go right ahead.
I just want to start out by saying hello and fuck the Jew.
There you go. There you go. All right. Well, I'm selfishly going to go to the very last thing, because I don't understand it, that you had sent. It's titled by you, Completely Retarded. Does that sound familiar?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's go ahead to that. It's, I don't even know what the hell's going on, so I really need your take on that. But first, let me go ahead and get that on screen. And sharing screen in 3, 2, 1. All right, there we go. This should be it for everyone. Yep, there it is. Excellent. All right, it's shown up. And all right, tell me more about this. What the heck is happening here?
You have a bunch of lefty ding-dongs who have gone to a car show and glued their hands and put paint and damaged Ferraris. Completely retarded. Why would anybody do something like that? Like, what are they, what is this proving? What kind of an agenda is this, you know, bolstering? I don't understand it outside of destruction of private property.
It's so strange. Okay.
Their hands are glued to the cars.
Wow.
And you know,
put your hands off.
No, you know what happens, right? They have to be surgically removed.
Okay.
They can't just take their super glued hand off of that car. It's glued
obviously
on
not.
There, so. They have to remove the fender or whatever it is that they're glued to and take that to the hospital with them. And then, you know, so this costs money. The police have to get involved, and you've got doctors that get involved. And, you know, we don't know if these people ever get arrested or in any trouble for damaging private property. It's just weird and sick. And you think that there's laws around things like this, and they're just laws aren't being followed in any way, shape, or form in anywhere, any country.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah, I wonder what country this even is. Deba Uchif, Mondial.
Some Slavic country, maybe. Who knows?
Well, auto destruction. Wow. Oh, at least they say what it is. They stand there proudly. I guess they'll get the bill. They'll get
that
the bill.
That is nothing that a Sawzall wouldn't cure.
Yeah. Right. You take them out. Yeah. If you take the hand off at the wrist, no one would be doing that next year.
Right.
That's true. That's absolutely true. Right.
And they do that in other countries. They cut their hands off when they steal and they damage things. And, you know, that's a more of a natural law.
Yeah.
Well, if I had a car like that, I wouldn't care. That's disgusting.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I would dare say these cars are not even made for driving. They seem so, seemed to be so.
They were nice.
Yeah, beautiful, high end. They just display autos, I guess, but not anymore. So that's glue all about there, huh? Wow. Boy, that's stupid.
It could be because it's all Formula One stuff right now, too. Formula One's running, which I think is a big phony baloney thing anyway.
Oh, yeah.
But that could be, you know, have something to do with it. Maybe they're protesting fuel usage. Who knows?
Oh, right. It's probably environmental. Yeah, I'm just guessing.
Well, you would think, you know, that's usually the lefty agenda. They're just pushing the lie.
I will say this. Here in Delaware, there's a handful of people amongst whom the racetrack is really unpopular because there's only a handful of people that realize what a scam it is that Jewish investors tend to come to an area. They appeal to the area to float a bond to build the racetrack. And they claim that, meanwhile, they call themselves investors, but they don't invest anything. They claim that them bringing the racing to the area will be a real boon for the economy. This is the line they give. And so everyone in the area pays for the racetrack in Delaware. And then, you know, like the bulk of the money ends up in the pocket of the Jewish quote unquote investors who didn't have to invest anything. This is really actually how it goes with the Formula One racing. This is not Formula One racing, but it's a similar kind of thing. It's the, it's just the standard, whatever the standard race car with Danica, whatever her name is. So it's not Formula One, but it's racing, but it's all the same pattern, this sort of faux investment pattern where the people end up floating a bond. So they pay for their own bread and circuses. Like, this is really unique. This is completely Jewish. It used to be at least the people of Rome would not have to pay for their own bread and circuses. They would, they would receive that entertainment on a Saturday.
Mm-hmm. You know, the video you have playing in the background there, that is showing all of the presidents of Israel and their original roots, where they come from.
Oh, good.
None of them are Israeli or Jew, you know, even they all come from.
I see that. Yeah, they're from all over.
There has never been one Jewish. They're all Eastern European Zionists, every single one. Right. And I think the first three or four were actually from the Erdogan gangs and you know, they were all terrorists. So I just don't understand how if we know about this stuff is available on the internet for everybody to know. It always amazes me that people are shocked when you tell them that the prime ministers of Israel, the first four or three or four of them, were terrorists, named terrorists.
Oh, yeah, the Irgun. Terrorist.
Thank you, Irgun.
Yeah.
It's kind of why I say rabbis instead of rabbis, because I don't have any respect for a religion that wants to kill everybody else. So I'm going to pronounce rabbi any way I want to.
Oh, yeah. I suppose there is a correct way, quote unquote, but
rabbi. They get upset if you call them rabbis. That's why
I've also heard the phrase Rebbe, which I don't understand.
Rebbe also, yeah.
Yeah, I don't understand that variation.
But do that also.
So this is all the contemporary guys, yeah, okay. smoke
tricks. They're basically all the ones that are there right now.
Oh, Itamar Ben Gavir, right?
From Iraq.
So you can go back a bit, yeah. It's crazy. Yair Lapid.
Okay, so I was thinking about this the other day. They had like 15,500,000 or something like that after World War II. They're claiming there's only 15 million Jews in the world. What kind of crap is that? These people are pumping 5-6 babies each, especially the Hasidics. So how come they still have the same population? How come they're not part of the censuses in all the countries? They all have their own recording and statistical information that's separate from everybody else. That alone
should tell us. Yeah, they're part of the census, but they get to do self-reporting.
What is that?
Yeah, it's horseshit is what it is.
Self-reporting? Yeah. That's like the baby food companies. They write the regulations that they're supposed to follow. So when they break them, they're the ones that are supposed to be punishing themselves.
Yeah, it seems to be. Yeah, that's a bunch of bullshit, obviously.
That's how the baby food companies work. They create their own regulations. So when they don't follow their regulations or they break them, then there's nobody to scold them or prevent them from continuing their practices. This is becoming a really bad thing. The baby food is really poisoned. I remember when my little guys were, still eating it. I tried to make my own. And that's kind of a pain in the butt, but for me, I started reading the ingredients even on the organic baby foods, and I was shocked that they would put some of that stuff in baby food.
Oh, yeah. Not to mention and extra formula. Sugar. Yeah.
You know, it's powdered madness. Formula scares me. I see so many people, because it's less costly, so many people use the powdered formula.
Mm.
And it's just, you know, that's kind of scary. Did you use I know you were using formula. Did you use powdered formula, or are you buying special formula from Finland?
No, we just had to complement it with powdered formula, but I guess the ladies, if they're not in their prime, they don't produce as much milk, so it was just a complimenting thing. But fortunately, she's weaned off now, so that's good.
Yeah, I tried to wean my guys off of breast milk, because they both got, the second one didn't get as much as the first one. I'm an older mom, so I was able to, you know, stimulate quite a bit of production, but still, I wanted to at least get, you know, a little bit into them. I thought that was really important. Sorry, I'm doing all the animal feedings right now. They're all standing around me.
Well, let's get Clash's take. Maybe she has something to say on the issue of baby formula versus making your own food versus the natural breastfeeding.
That has been so long ago that, yeah. I did use the powdered stuff because I was stupid and young.
Oh,
I didn't know as much about this stuff as I do now.
Oh, yeah. Right, yeah. Second time around, it would certainly be different. But, yeah, that's understandable. Mm-hmm. Well, it seems the next video is called Vaccination in Progress. All chickens commercially grown or jabbed. I had no idea it was done like this. This is factory.
Look how
farming.
Cruel they are. They're so disgusting. Look at what they're doing to these poor little baby
chickens. It looks sterile, but look how horrible it looks. Oh, boy. All right, here we go. What in the world? Back to tab. All right, here we go. Oh, brother. That's horrible. Horrible.
It's really hard to watch the level of cruelty. They're in the 70s, there were a million organizations that protected animals from this kind of stuff. I watched a video the other day on ducks and how they treat ducks for not just, you know, the duck meat, but for the feathers that are in all of our comforters, our down comforters, our pillows, all have these feathers, these down feathers. They put the ducks, they put this thing around their neck, and there's probably 5 or 6 ducks attached to this thing around their neck, and it's like a conveyor belt that spins around, while the ducks are in water. It's the most hideous thing I've seen done to an animal besides the halal and kosher killings of animals for food.
Oh, brother.
And you have to know that Jews have to be in control of these types of environments because they're the ones that don't give a shit, a blink of an eye, for animals. They just don't care about them.
Well, that and a lot of the third world, yeah. The Jews in the third worlders, yeah.
I mean, if they can look at human beings and say they're cockroaches, can you imagine if they have any empathy for an animal at all?
Obviously not.
They don't even have empathy for a human being, so.
Well, let's get Clash's take. What do you think has become of all these one-time, very prevalent animal rights organizations?
I have no idea, but the duck story really makes me sad. Like, I thought, do you remember that show Green Acres? Did either of you ever see it?
No.
Had Zsa Gabor in it?
Green Acres is the place for
yes.
me.
Oh, okay. I think it's a dream maker. Yeah. Oh, yes. Green Acres. Yeah. Yeah.
I had a big house when I was up in the mountains, and I decided I was going to, you know, play Green Acres, and I had a duck that would follow me around the house. It would, like, sit in front of the wood-burning stove and, you know, chill.
Cute.
Stuff like that.
Oh, my gosh, Clasha, that's so cute. I had a duck, too, when I was in sixth grade. I hatched it. I ordered an egg, and I ordered, like, an incubator. And it came with two eggs and an incubator, and one of them hatched. And I had a little duck named Freddy that followed me everywhere. He was so cute.
They're awesome. They are so much fun. In fact,
that's
I had
why
a video.
It's hard to see that stuff, you know?
Yeah. I had a video, but it's too big to, like, send. Like, she's walking around in the house. She would follow me all around.
That's cute.
Yeah, my friends hated it. They're like, your duck stinks.
I guess their duck's oily. That's why.
Yeah, their poops are kind of gross, though.
Their poops.
Their poops can be really gross. My little guy wants ducks. He came home the other day, and he just looked at it, and he goes, can we just get some ducks? And I looked at my husband, and I was like, that's one of the creatures besides snakes and lizards I don't like to do. Anything that has a weird smell or, you know, in general, like snakes and lizards, people that I've known who've had them, their house smells like a reptilian container. I don't know what else to call it. but you know, I'm not opposed to it. And I was telling my husband, if he wants snakes, and you're going to have to build him another house because I can't have snakes in the house.
Yeah, you're not having it.
Well, we had a little black and white snake in the garage the other day, and I went out and I saw it, and it was kind of aggressive. So it kind of came at me. It wasn't very big, maybe 12 inches long. And I quietly went to my husband and whispered in his ear, there's a snake in the garage, go get it. Next thing I know, my kid is up, my four-year-old. He's up, running to the garage. Give me that snake! I'm just like, no!
Yeah.
He was beating the heck out of my husband because my husband had the snake in a box, and he was trying to rip the box out of his hands trying to get to the snake because he was adamant that that was going to be his pet.
Oh, boy.
This kid, he's going to drive me nuts.
That's pretty amazing. That is funny. If you guys don't mind, we'll take a momentary pause to say hello to chat. We've not done that yet, of course. And let me see here. We've got a few. Oh, yes. Let's go ahead and use the break.
The first word is
always
honest.
You do you.
Women have always honest. Served to keep America strong and free.
Always
honest.
Always
honest.
Clash. Well, hey, hello, welcome to the stream, everybody.
It never ends. It never ends. It's always something. So, how are you guys? Welcome. Who do we have here? We got
Serbian Bull, Kick Chef, Kata Koshiro, John McCain's Tumor, and Strong by 55. What's up, guys? And let's see, over at F to the T to the J.
Guys, what's going on?
Bushmaster's here. Lori's here. Clash is in the chat. Shameless Wise Ass says Davis inspired meme. Oh, all right. We'll open that up. And Lori saying hi, Clash. All right, let's take a look at the meme. Davis inspired. Oh, I get it. I see. This is your country. This is your country on Jews. Yeah, it looks. It definitely looks worse. Except your country on Jews. Yeah, the Twin Towers are completely gone now. Of course. Yeah, we get it. That's a good one. You could show a lot of things. You could show women at home with a baby on the hip, smiling as they make muffins. That would be your country. And then you could show women like chained to a cubicle doing Excel spreadsheets, or maybe they're working on OnlyFans, and that'll be your country on Jews. And yeah, there's a lot of meme stuff you could do with that. So we appreciate that. All right. So hello to everyone. Nice to see you. And we'll go ahead and get back to the chat. I'm sorry, get back to the show now. Let's see. Right. This reminds me. Always honest. I see the jingle jangle, and she actually just shared this, by the way. Whoa. Javier Millay is ordering the release of all remaining documents on Nazis who fled the country after World War II. Come on. I doubt this is real about Hitler in Argentina in 1945. I mean, we can hope, but I don't know about that. Okay, so we're going to give the Jews more fuel to chase down the last remaining, like, 99-year-old Nazis. Well, I guess ride the wave, Jews, ride it out to the very, very end. Because after this, you guys don't have much. There's not much to rely on. There's no more guilt for your psychopathy. Your Jewish projections of torture fantasies they're losing their sting for Whitey. So good fucking luck. I guess go chase down the last Nazi and hope you feel better. That is fucking wild. Always honest, by the way, just gave 1488. Oh, I get it. Thank you, dear. And, oh, that reminds me, actually. Oh, yes, 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 yes. Over here at, let me just show you the, boom, the Gmail. Rights for Whites gave 25 today, saying, stay strong, stay strong. I look forward to seeing your videos for years to come and joining your IRL activism. Mention this on your next episode. Well, there you go. And we have. Okay, we'll leave that up momentarily, but it's more important that we make sure we pull back up. Ah, there it is. Okay, the next video is called Animals Go to the UK. Oh, brother. All right, I guess we have to watch this one. I think I know what the animals are. Let's double check. Animals Go to the UK. Telegram is acting funky. Oh, here we go. Oh, yeah, we already watched that new commercial, which is strange. Soylent chicken tendies. Oh, I see it's got a rap track. All right, we'll share this. Oh. Look, everyone. It's the future brain surgeons and rocket scientists going to the UK. Oh, they're really going to raise the GDP. Going to contribute to the culture of the UK. Good Lord. All right. Well, I'll give everyone an opportunity to comment. Wow, that's crazy. Wow. All right, what's your take on this UK migration stuff? Oh, I see we lost audio on that. That's interesting. What's your take on that, Clasha?
It's UK horrible.
Migration.
Oh, they,
yeah.
You know, it's been going on for so long, too. You know, I think, well, didn't they, in every white country, change the immigration laws all at the same time, coincidentally, around 1965?
Mm-hmm.
Right, and they've been bringing them in that started with the Windrush over there.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's yeah. right. The colony related migration. Yeah.
Yeah. There was another kid I saw on Twitter yesterday. They were showing this redheaded boy got stabbed in the chest by a nigger, you know, and the nigger will probably get what, maybe a slap on the wrist or 6 months.
Yeah. Or you never know. Now what's in vogue is they tend to try to say they're not fit to stand trial, which is strange because it's sort of an argument. If you're not fit to stand trial, why are you fit to be emigrated? But that's what they're getting away with lately. What's your take on this, Always Honest? The video you called Animals Go to the UK.
Can you hear me?
Oh, yes, we can.
Okay, good. I had to disconnect and come back. Yeah, I sent that one because that was just a couple of days ago. So they are still piling in all over to these. This is the UK, but they're bringing them in by the boatloads in Ireland. It's disgusting, and it needs to stop. And I mean, the UK, I'm concerned about that area. I watched something. I hope they don't try to remove all of the history of Europe by bombing or the beginnings of a war. They tried, you know, there was a fire at Heathrow Airport on Monday, I think it was, possibly, or something like that, maybe,
yeah,
a few days ago. Mm-hmm. And they tried to blame that on Russia. They tried to say that Russia did that.
Oh, really? Okay.
Mm-hmm. So I think that, you know, they're going to be reaching in so many different directions to push that world war thing. But just to get back on these are not immigrants. Okay. These are invaders that are illegally being brought into countries to, destroy society, to rape women, to hurt children, and to destroy, morality. And we can't call them immigrants. they're dangerous terrorists. Honestly, I think these are the part of the terrorists that are coming to these countries. Look at them, they're all men. Immigrants used to be families, you know, coming to this country to have better lives. These are men coming to cause terror. And, you know,
it's mostly military age men and a handful of older guys. Yeah.
And they look kind of crazy, too. You know, they're not really acting like, you know, civilized, nice guys. Look at them. They're acting like chimps and stuff, apes, gorillas, laughing and throwing their arms around and just, you know, letting you know they're not going to be a quiet. They're going to be a force wherever they're landing.
Well, that's just their natural behavior. There's no illusion that they're going to be civilized. They can't be.
But they created all the civilizations, right? According to the Jews, they're the ones that created everything.
Oh, the wee woods.
The word civilized, doesn't it come from civilization?
Uh-huh. You know, the Jewish academics always have the anti-white fantasies that they like to promote.
Well, even now, I just think that they want to erase. So the whole deal of the eradication of Amalek and Edom and that whole concept is to erase them out of history. So the only way to erase Europeans out of history is to erase Europe. This is what I was concerned about the other day. This like suddenly popped into my head like a ton of bricks hit me. And I thought, holy shit, are these fucks going to blow up Europe? Like, is that what they're going to do to erase Europeans? The history of Europeans. How else can you erase the history of Europeans with their fucked up prophecy?
Well, you could do replacement migration, or you could do the Ukraine model. So,
but that doesn't erase it. That doesn't erase the history. It just erases the people.
These people will erase the history because they'll tear down the buildings and everything. If you look at the farms, and everything that they take in South Africa, like it's like stripping a car in Harlem. You know?
Yeah, there's nothing there to terrorize left. And destroy. Yes.
Yeah.
That's an image. Yeah. Up on cinder blocks, just stripping a car in Harlem. Yeah. God.
Imagine your country like that. Imagine our country like that, because I think that's where it's headed.
Well, you can see it.
Yeah.
You can. You get Baltimore and Detroit and.
Oh, Philly.
It's so sad. Oof, my God. It's so sad. Our country used to be amazing. And
oh, that's just, a good, that's another meme opportunity, right? Instead of this is your country doing the New York, you could do Kensington Avenue, because Kensington Avenue used to house RCA, which of course was at the time a great American company. There were all kinds of TV repair shops along RCA Row, but Kensington Avenue is now, as you know, the Walking Dead zombies on fentanyl are there. Whole
all
other
the cities
animal.
Are going to look like that, Davis. Look at what they did, what 2020 did, and I think everybody can look in their city, no matter where they're at, and see the same thing. Is it completely eliminated mom and pop shops out of our lives, and it replaced them with these big box conglomerates. So there's no uniqueness of a town anymore. They're all exactly the same. They all have the same things that you can purchase, the same availability. It's becoming too, and I don't think people realize how controlled everything really is. You know, I have friends that are coming back from Europe, and they're just bumping along like everything's great, and they're not affected at all by anything. They think Trump's doing a fabulous job. He's fixing things, you know.
Oh, yes, right. That's the illusion a lot
because
of people are under.
Because things need to be fixed, they tell me. He's fixing things because things need to be fixed. I was like, really, shouldn't he be starting with like the dual citizen Israeli Jews that are giving all our money to Israel? Shouldn't we do something about that? Shouldn't that be where he starts? But no, he's a Zionist pig, so he can't. He's going to get rid of Massey. Right. They're going to start putting people like us in jail. Okay? They're literally going to start doing that. If you look at who's being deported now, they're picking up Muslim women who are in doctoral programs in the street, just walking them up to them, 6, 7, 8 guys and women with masks on. Just, hey, hi, are you so-and-so? Oh, you are? Boom. They grab them. Throw them in a car. They're gone.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
I mean, they're not picking up the gang bangers and the criminals. They're picking up people that are criticizing Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Who are we? What are we doing every fucking day here? We're criticizing Israel. We're going to be next.
Yeah, and you notice he's using that. What act again is he? I'll look it up. He's using a certain older act as the legal anchor to do all this. Something about.
They're like alien enemies or.
Yes, the Alien and Enemies Act is what he's using from 1871 or something like that. It's some ancient. It's the same one that they used to lock up the Japanese people and take away all their properties during World War II.
And the Germans in World War I.
And the Germans, too. That's correct.
1798.
So again. Yeah. What it's an old act, and this is what they're bringing forth.
So he's this law gives the president additional powers to detain non-citizens. This law amended in 1918 to strike out the provision restricting the selection to this section to males is still into. Okay, we'd have to read more, but clearly it allows them. So it was updated to become the Alien and Sedition Act. Okay. Mm-hmm. Right. And this means you can get thrown out of the country. So under this rubric, if this becomes precedent, then they should be able to deny U.S. citizens their citizenship and throw them out and make them stateless.
That's where they're headed.
That's where they're headed, clearly. It's not like they haven't done this before.
El Salvador.
They did that to Edward Snowden.
That's right. They want to put us in El Salvador. That's the prison they want us to go to in El Salvador. They want to send American citizens to fucking El Salvador.
Look at this. It stifled legitimate criticism of the government, shutting down freedom of speech and press. Well, now it stifles the illegitimate criticism of the illegitimate government of Israel. So that's how attached at the tip the U.S. and Israel are. Pretty crazy. Oh, look at this. They knew way back when that the act violated the Ninth and Tenth Amendments. See, but then it doesn't care. No one cares. It's only important if the amendments that the Jews give a shit about are violated.
We don't have a constitution. No one has fought this. The constitution has been just chiseled away into nothingness with the UCC laws and laws of the corporations and the Black's Law Book. We have administrators. Yeah. Those people are not judges. They are administrators of the UCC code for corporations. That's all they are. They even don't have jurisdiction over us. You know, it's
administrative law is a whole other animal. Yeah,
it is. It is. They have legal ease is what they have.
The main distinction being that the Universal Commercial Code and administrative law does not provide for endowed rights by a creator, just to be clear.
Well, it doesn't. Well, not even if you just eliminate natural rights. I mean, natural laws and natural rights. We still have a constitution in this country that gives us protections. That has been completely set on a shelf and ignored. Our courts do not function under constitutional laws. They are corporate laws, and this is why every city, every court, every hospital, every business, everything that is done is incorporated, because then it could fall under their Talmudic bullshit laws and their administrative personnel is what I call the judges. So they are going to do something about the judges because they don't need them anymore. They can administer court rulings and judgments online, which is the intent that they have, because when you have a world, you have to think about world perspective here, because this is where we're headed, to one world government. They're going to impose the Noahide laws, and those laws are going to be controlled, and anything punishable is going to be run through a world court, which is going to be run through AI.
Exactly.
Clash, your further thoughts on the coming deformation of law?
I think she just about covered it. I was going to throw in that it's all going to be done through AI too. So, yeah.
Oh God, yeah. Oh boy. Yep. Yeah, there's that too.
That's all programmed. It's not really intelligence. It's a program.
Oh yeah. Clearly. Yeah. I would say it's entirely a bleak future, except we do have an option. You know, we have other options.
I got a good one in there.
What's that?
About AI. So,
good.
I think I sent it to you. It's in Telegram. It says ChatGPT. It was maybe yesterday or the day before.
Oh, in that case, it's coming up soon. Yeah.
Yeah, it's in the baby. Don't do that right now, please. It should be ready to queue up. But that's a really good one to watch. I'm sorry. My son just threw me completely off the train.
It's all right. Are you okay watching this one? This shall happen all over the world. Let's do that. Let's watch this one then. All right, here goes.
Homes and properties in Australia.
And oops, hold on. Let's make it louder.
The UK for decades have actually stolen everyone's homes and properties in Australia. And the problem I have and we have is that Australians just don't know it yet. Now, lots of people in the media and lots of people in law are starting to expose this. And they did it in a couple of very sneaky and, again, deceptive ways. And of course, because under the law, ignorance of the law is no excuse. There's nothing the everyday person can do. So the first thing they did is they recently changed all of the paper title deeds, the parchment paper title deeds owned by homeowners. And this is 100% of Australians, rich and poor, 100%. What they did is they instructed banks and solicitors to take a big stamp that says destroyed, no longer legal, and stamp out all of those paper parchment title deeds. So never mind the property itself. In a safe at your bank or solicitors was your parchment paper, in itself a valuable document, right? Because then you've got the same rights on the land that the crown had. It's sort of a continued title through everyone that's owned it. You have the same rights and privileges on your land, the freehold land, as the crown had when they sold it to you. So this Albanese Labour government have cancelled all those parchment paper title deeds. They then sold the title deeds and lands office to an Australian super fund, again, corporations and big business. And now what we found out is that they've changed the language. Even on the digital titles, they're sort of allotting people who've already owned their home, they've paid off their home. They're giving you these digital lot numbers in Australia with your name next to it, except they've changed the language, Jim. And this is the biggest heist, the theft of other people's property I've ever seen. They've changed the language from in fee simple, no one would know, means freehold. And they've changed it to fee simple, which means leasehold. So you now own your property only by leasehold. You own it with the government. It's so they can mandate things like smart meters because, you know, you're just a leaseholder. It's so they can do things like put native title liens on properties, despite the fact Australians in a federal referendum voted no against the Voice to Parliament referendum, which was all this native title stuff. The government's just going ahead with it anyway, this time state to state.
Now, I'm assuming a lot of this parallels to mortgage laws in the U.S., which I don't know much about.
It does. So we hold property fee simple in this country where we supposedly hold title, but we don't actually hold title. A deed of trust is basically someone telling you that they trust you on their property. So we don't actually hold title. Even when you own your property and you have a deed of trust, unless you have an alloyal title, but we hold property in this country fee simple. Now in Hawaii, they're fee properties. So you have 99-year leases and they're all leasehold properties. No one can own the property. There's some that you can, but it's all pretty, now they have fee simple, but most of it was fee properties in Hawaii. So there's other places where you can't own the land. You own it with the government or you own it with plantation owners or whoever the original landowners are. And I actually worked with a company when Japan started to lose their economy back in the 80s. They had a lot of properties going in Hawaii. They had a lot of ownership. So I worked for a company that basically bought for not just foreclosures, but properties that were being foreclosed upon on fee properties. So basically a guy has 200 acres and he's allowed 50 families to live on this property. They built homes, they've lived there, they've raised their children. Now they're in their 70s and 80s and they want it, their leases are up and they're not renewing them. So they're telling them, get the fuck out. We don't care what kind of an investment you put here. You have to pick yourself up and leave. So I didn't realize this is what was happening over there. They hired me. They were paying me $8,000 a month in the 80s to go over there and close these deals. The first deal, I saw what was happening, and instead of doing what the company wanted me to do, I spent 6 months teaching these people how to keep their properties. They freaking fired me, but it took them 6 months to figure out what I was up to.
Oh, good. We got 6 months of $8,000 a month.
I got 6 months of saving people's homes, man. That just made me sick. That's not the kind of thing I'm into. So, yeah, that really bothered me. But so what could happen here is something exactly like what just happened in Australia. They just say, well, we're not going to do the deeds of trust. Your paper deeds of trust are no longer applicable. We're going to a digital system. And all they have to do is change the word from fee simple to fee. All they have to do is remove the word simple. And we no longer own anything in the United States, rich or poor. It all will belong to the government.
Well, I do know this distinction is pretty clear. It doesn't take much to notice that people, when they hold their certificate of title, that's not a title, right? That's a certificate of the title. That's proof that the title's held by someone else, and you merely have a certificate of it.
Correct.
So that's an indication of how we can be deceived into thinking we're holding one thing than another. So when you say an allodial title, how does that differ from a certificate of title?
Allodial title is the only true ownership of land in the United States. If you have allodial title, they can't lien you. They can't, they can do certain things with permitting, but you pretty much have title. You own your land. They've
so
given
zoning,
you, you've got complete
they can
title
zone
to
you and they can zone you and tax you, I think, right? But they
no, so that's so in some areas, just to get allodial title, you end up negotiating a lifetime tax payoff on your property. This is after full ownership. Let's say you paid $500,000 for your land. You own your house. You don't have any mortgages or anything on it. So now you want your allodial title. In order to get your allodial title, now you have to negotiate with the county that you're in for the lifetime of taxes that you could encumber. You pay that, and then you can get your allodial title. That's why many people can't do it, because they're also encumbering the cost of that lifetime of taxes. But you can also, if you have a good negotiator, a good legal team, you can get it. It's a hard drive to get that allodial title, but I think anyone who actually doesn't have a mortgage needs to do that. And that may protect them from them doing something like this, because you have a loyal title. They can't take it away no matter what they do or what they regulate. They can't.
Interesting.
But that's the only way. We're all tenants. So you'll see that we have tenancy. When we have deeds, we have tenancy on property. We don't have ownership. It doesn't say you have ownership. It says you're a freaking tenant, joint tenant, tenants in common, right? Those are the terms you see on when you are transferring property into ownerships, right? But it's not an ownership. You're a tenant. You're not called an owner. You're called a tenant. Whereas on a loyal title, you are the owner.
Interesting. All right.
All those Spanish land grants that happened, you know, in the United States, those were all a loyal title holdings.
Oh, the land grants were. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then since then, it's become completely Jewified.
Yes. Well, sure. This is because they want to own everything. They can't let you have anything. Nothing.
Right.
I mean, come on. Like, who is so fucked up like this?
You'll own nothing and be happy.
I mean, our big responsibilities come with owning things. Yes, they can be headaches. Yes. But, you know, you also get big rewards and being proud of your accomplishments and having a place to give to your children, you know, to pass on. All of these things are super important for us, and they're just going to take it all away.
It's also normal to be rooted somewhere. It's only the rootless cosmopolitan who can ever imagine being a constant wanderer like that. Clash, any take on this this business of mortgages, ownership, and yes, the Jewified state of America.
Well, I just learned a lot from Always Honest. I didn't know most of that. And it's kind of been a fear of mine, because I've been looking to buy property. And I'm kind of like, well, should I even bother? You know?
Sounds like you should, but you know, maybe just take a certain approach. I suppose you can. I'm sure she'll speak with you off of the air and help you figure out if that's possible to get one of those allodial titles. That sounds like that'd be most advantageous. Interesting.
Right.
Interesting. Yep. John McCain's tumor saying, let's just rent everything from Jews. They're notoriously fair in what they charge.
It's nice not like they'll set rent with an algorithm, right?
He's a sarcastic bastard. That is funny shit, though. That's pretty good.
Remembered the ChatGPT. So this gal basically says, you know, hey, life's kind of trashed. It looks we're in really big trouble here. Oops, what's that?
Oh, sorry. I was moving.
Oh,
I was trying to mute your ChatGPT.
This is a really good one. Play this one. This is in Russia. This is Russian. That was Russian television. That was a really good one. But you want the one that says ChatGPT. Oh, yeah, gosh. Okay. Maybe I emailed it to you.
Oh, okay. I'll look for it while we play the...
They don't let me send everything. They're terrible.
Really weird. All right, let's do this then. You say the Russian one. Let me do that.
Yeah, this is good.
Oh, good. We have subtitles. Nice. All right. All right, so this appears to be some kind of talk show. You'll have to answer for your words in court.
Не скрывай здесь все. КГБ дает все тебе. КГБ? Прокуроры. На них работай, сливай информацию, какую нужно. И людей в тюрьму сажай. Вообще, а ты знал, все стоишь и начнешься. Не
правильно я в русский. Nice. Yes, the whole world is boiling up against Jews. There appears to be some kind of a anti-Semitic renaissance on the horizon. It's like I can feel the wind blowing. So we just have to make it to that zeitgeist state in one piece, and then we'll win.
That's what they want. They want everybody to be anti-Semitic right now because that's how they can pass their anti-Semitism laws. They're going to prove to everyone that we are all anti-Semitic.
Well, they'll regret wanting that, it seems, but sure. So they think they can valve it on and off? Wow, that's some assumption.
They're going to impose this on a world basis. The 7 Noahide laws, the first one is you have to only believe in the Jewish God, right? And anti-Semitism, you can't speak about the Jews. That's one of the Noahide laws.
Well, people are still going to talk about the Jews, so we'll see how that goes.
Not if they get their head cut off.
I'll do it until they cut my head off.
Yeah.
You know, do you guys remember hearing about the FEMA camps with all the guillotines?
Yes.
And we couldn't understand, well, we don't really use guillotines in this country. Why would they be here? I think we know why. Because the 7 Noahide laws are, the punishment is beheading by guillotine.
Interesting.
Okay, so right. once they pick up all of the anti-Semites, that are doing things that are against world laws, you are going to go to a place where they are holding these world prisoners, and if they can't, I don't even think they're going to bother. Jews aren't going to try to recircuit your brains because you're an anti-Semite. You're just going to be decapitated. I know this is really grim, but I think at this point we have to be really grim. Because we're not looking at this really bright future of, you know, lovey-dovey, everybody's happy, and we all get what we want. That's not what we're looking at here. We're looking at some really effed up human beings that are criminal murderers that want to control everybody with their fucked up religion and perspective and then kill us all. This is not a healthy environment for human beings.
Just confirming that Zionism
We have to beat it into their heads. I think at this point we have to beat it into people's heads. It just has to go on, keep going. Come on, people, wake up, wake up, wake up. You got to wake up because if you don't, this is happening, and this is happening this year. They're going to do some nasty shit this year in this country.
Right. Yeah.
I hope they fail.
When Jews confirm that Zionism is just a global crime syndicate and goodness forbid they go that step of beheading people, won't that engender a greater resistance? And Jews maybe haven't calculated for that because they have their chutzpah, you see, which always throws off their estimations of their enemy.
Did they remove Tartaria out of history? Completely out of history? What other things have they completely removed out of history with their spiteful, vindictive prophecies?
Yeah, I would say I don't know much about Tartaria, and you would say, there you go.
So, you know, the streams that make money are talking about these things, okay? They are, because this is, people want to know what other things they've been lying about. There's so much proof of an advanced civilization that was building things that we can't even conceive the building of. Do you see them building anything that even looks like any of the cathedrals in Europe? You know, and if we keep asking questions like, how did they build these? This didn't happen the way that they said. You know, all of these things. I sent you a video of Elon Musk having a private conversation. It's been recorded, probably from the person who he was speaking with, letting everybody know that he knows there's a firmament that we can't get through.
Oh, come on.
And that what they feel is above it is an endless, vast amount of water. I sent you the video. Really? It's in your Telegram. It's here. It says Elon.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Okay, but this is what he says. Okay, they all know this. They know they can't leave this planet. Why do you think they build bunkers in the ground? It's the only fucking place they can hide from us. They can't get in a rocket ship and leave. They can't. I don't care how much bullshit they freaking create in Hollywood. They cannot leave. There is a firmament up there. They hit it every time. Hillary Clinton said they put 3 million cracks in it. Or 10 million cracks, whatever that comment was. That was a reference to the firmament. You know, they can't leave. This is why they have they spend all their billions of dollars building underground bunkers. Because they know everybody's going to come after them, and they're going to have to deal with the things that they have done to the world.
All right, here I don't seem to have an Elon one, but I'll look in my Gmail while let's begin with this here.
I'll pull up Telegram on my phone and see if I can find it too.
Yeah, see if it came or not, or was sent, I should say. Okay, so this is a while back. White House were consulted. Here we go.
No, that's Trump wants war with.
We should start with this one. Okay, let's play this one
with
then.
Iran. You know.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, yes, yes.
He might be, you know, talking peace in Ukraine, but he's talking war in Iran. And that is a more dangerous war because that's going to kill American soldiers.
Mm-hmm. All right. I might have to look away from the screen to hear what's going on here. All right. Here we go.
And the White House were consulted by the Israelis on their attacks in Gaza tonight. And as President Trump has made it clear, Hamas, the Houthis, Iran, all those who seek to terrorize not just Israel, but also the United States of America, will see a price to pay. All hell will break loose. Well, the Trump administration and the White House.
So doing the all hell will break loose routine yet again. All right. That's interesting.
They sent a nuclear battleship into the Gulf.
Oh, brother.
From anything this, for Israel. Right after this, you know, because they don't want, you know, they don't want. And Iran is also, you know, doing and saying weird things as well. You know, that they're saying, well, now we've been threatened. So they're in a position where they're being offensive. They're putting in an offense.
As you would.
As you would.
Yeah.
So. I think we really, you know, our eyes should be on what's happening in God bless you, in Israel and in the Middle East, because that's what's going to kill Americans. What's happening in Ukraine, they're not going to send Americans over there, really.
No.
Because they've got enough whites over there to kill. But in this country, he's going to ask our children to go to war for Israel again, to go die for Israel. He's going to do it. Otherwise, they would never have imposed the drafts for men and women.
Well, that's true, and that was discussed early on before Trump even became president. That was being discussed as something that Trump would pick up and make a part of his main aims as president, to make a stronger military. So here we have England also preparing for World War III.
Yes, that is Prince William in a Challenger 2 tank. And at a moment when the UK could do with a display of what its troops are capable of, William is helping to deliver one. Taking part in training with his regiment, the Mercians, some now based here in Estonia, less than 100 miles from the Russian border.
Every week there's something new going on, but our job here is to reassure our allies that we're absolutely committed to freedom and to ensure that we are ready to face any threat wherever that might come from.
Good one.
You have to remember that one day Prince William, who is driving that vehicle, like his father, will be head of the armed forces, which means that him showing off the UK's military capabilities is just as significant as anything he has to say. After all, with the royal family, it's always about the optics.
Obviously, yeah. So he's there. Well, it's very Hollywood. Yeah. So you have, he's not going to be in the war theater, but he'll be there for the promotional video that preempts the campaign. Interesting.
He'll be there at the end, too, to take the seat as the Antichrist.
Oh, you think it's him? How boring.
I think it's
William.
Him. Yep.
Yeah, I think so.
I have my own theory around this, but I think it might be him.
I've watched a lot of stuff about it, and a lot of people think that.
Mm. Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't know if I was really going down a real good rabbit hole there, but I've seen things where between him and Kate, supposedly, they have all of the 13 original families' bloodlines in them. So their children, all three of those little demon seeds, have the 13 families. Have you heard any of that stuff?
There's a lady that did a video, and it was exhaustingly long. And I'll try to find it and send it to you.
Okay. Hmm. That's interesting.
Yeah, have Davis give you my email, and yeah, I'll try to find that.
And you should buy property. Don't let that ever, don't let what's happening all around us stop your life from continuing forward. We have to continue forward. We have to stay strong. We have to keep living our lives, feeding our children, feeding ourselves, buying properties, working, and doing all the things that are rewarding and good for our lives, and never showing them that they are affecting us in any way, shape, or form, and that we stand strong, regardless of what they're doing. So, yes, you should buy property. And if you want to talk offline about that sometime, we can do that as well.
Oh, yeah. And you guys, when I send out the show alerts with the StreamYard link, you should see each other's emails. So you already have your emails. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yeah. Just a heads up on that. You're free to obviously, get in touch with each other and communicate as you see fit. There was a book, ironically, by someone named Tim Cohen, who I believe was a converso. It was called The Antichrist and a Cup of Tea. Published in 1998. It was basically suggesting that Prince Charles was the Antichrist. So I wonder if this author would contend he just missed it. And I'd be curious to see if maybe you give this a cursory glance. Maybe this author was building a case for what you've already figured out, always honest. Interesting. In other words, maybe he saw some of the early signs, but was off by a generation is all,
Possibly.
Yeah. So I'll just put that in the private chat. Again, I can't speak for the validity of it. I don't really know. I know that the name Cohen is going to send up red flags, but he called himself a Christian. From what I remember, this was a much younger Davis reading this book in 1998, obviously. All right. So actually I remember reading in the 2000s, but that's neither here nor there. All right, let's do this then. I'll put it in the private chat. Well, ma'am, just in case it's something you want to look into. And we'll go back to Telegram and move to the next.
I show you what I'm about to show you. Your mind will be blown. You're going to be blindsided. Every single Israeli prime minister has a fake name. Did you know that? I was just talking about Ben Gurion. Do you know what his original name is? It's Grun. Gruen. He changed it to make it sound more Jewish and sound more Middle Eastern. Do you know what Netanyahu's real name is? It's not Netanyahu. It's Milkovsky. I swear to God, go and look it up. You'll find Milkovsky. That's his real name. Remember what Israelis are. Israelis are European Jews. They don't come from Palestine. but they want to make, they want you to make you believe, they want to make believe and make you believe that they come from this area, that they are indigenous to the land, that they're so Jewish, right? Even though they have no connection. So they change their names. Here's another one. Moshe Sharat, his name is Chertok originally. You've got Levi Eshkol. Eshkol was Shklonik. So he changed it from Shklonik to Eshkol. So then you have Yigal Alon, his original name, Pekovitz. Golda Meir, Israel's first female prime minister. Her real name is not Golda Meir. It's Mabovich. Mabovich. More like mad bitch. We have Yitzhak Rabin, right? His name is not Rabin. It's Rubitsov. Are you seeing the pattern? These are Eastern
European. So it's, he keeps saying Eastern European, but it sounds like these were Russian or Polish Pale Settlement Jews, which would have been out of Russia. But yeah, I get what he's saying, right? They ultimately became Eastern European Jews.
European names, not Palestinian, not Jewish, not Middle Eastern. They're Eastern European, okay?
What about
Menachem? They're not Palestinian. Bacon. They don't come from this region. Yitzhak Shamir. He's a great one. You know, Yitzhak Shamir, he's on the wanted poster because he was wanted by the British police in Palestine for terrorism. But they don't tell you that. So Yitzhak Shamir, his original name is Yezernitsky. Yezernitsky. Shimon Peres, Persky. Netanyahu, I already told you, Malikovsky. I think I said Milkovsky, excuse me. It's Malikovsky. Never, you know, it's the same point. Ehud Barak is Brog. So B-R-O-G, Brog. He changed it to Barak. Ariel Sharon. His original name is Shinerman. Shinerman. He changed it to Sharon. And Yair Lapid, who's you still see him changing posts, his original name is Lampel. So he changed it from Lampel to Lapid.
Oh, interesting. All right. Yep, Menachem Begin, we didn't get that treat. All right, well, we'll see. Any comments on that, anybody?
No, it just shows that none of them have any Hebrew blood in them at all.
Wild.
Right. And so the Hebrew language, just to be clear to everyone, the Hebrew language didn't start out as a Jewish language. The Hebrew language is Palestinian. So when the Jews came, the Eastern European Jews, they spoke whatever language they spoke, German, Russian, whatever, they, from their countries, and Yiddish. So the Hebrew that we have now in Israel is a combination of this Yiddish, Eastern European Yiddish, and Hebrew translations that they were able to mix together to create this weird Hebrew. But ancient Hebrew is a Palestinian language. It is Jewish language.
That makes sense, right? And then even the Yiddish is just bastardized German, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So they're just constantly taking, as usual, stealing, culturally appropriating everything, and deforming it to become the Jewish version of the thing they've stolen.
They are now trying to say that hummus and all of the Middle Eastern foods that the Arabs eat, the Middle Eastern people eat, which is different regionally. Every region has a different variation on hummus and baba ghanoush and all of these different Middle Eastern type of foods, even pickling things and olives.
Oh, yeah, as do the Greeks lentils. And all the Mediterranean stuff, yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, the Jews are trying to take credit for the creation of all these dishes.
Oh, brother.
they are literally trying to take credit for the creation of all of these dishes. And it just, I don't know.
If you kill all the people that created the dishes, I guess you can have an easier time appropriating them, right?
Well, I think there's some kind of psychosis around it as well, also, because they believe it. They think that this is their food. You know, there's like tabbouleh. I don't know if you've had any of these Middle Eastern dishes or not, but they're amazing. And if they're made well, like kind of there's a lot of Americanized versions. And then there's also a lot of Jewish people who have Mediterranean, Middle Eastern type of restaurants, but they are adding their Jewish skew to it. So it's not really a Middle Eastern dish anymore. But yeah, they're taking possession, just like they've done with other things, but they won't take possession to slavery, though, and making blacks into slaves. They won't take possession of that. And to even elaborate on that just a little bit, I know I'm kind of bouncing around a little bit, but there is no religion, organization, anything that has any mention of having slaves except for the Talmud and the Torah. Okay? Both of those say that the Jews can have slaves. And I've mentioned this before, that they proudly tell you that, yes, we can have slaves, and we don't care what color they are.
Hmm. Yeah, they have all manner of sort of levels, striations like that. Yeah, they have their own classification. Even amongst Jews, you know, you got mamzers. They've got all these crazy rules about if you can find this in Kevin McDonald's books, all the crazy rules they have about the different the strata of society. They created like a little hierarchy. And I guess a mamzer is like when you had a bastard child of a Jewish man who then marries a Jewish woman. They have words for every possible combination so that they're demoted in the ranking. And it's all about, you know, the worship of their pure Jew lineage, which, as it turns out, is just 100% Bolshevism, just the pre-Bolshevism. So way back in the desert religion, when they were making foreskin contracts with Canaanite demon gods, even then they had the Bolshevik impulse that just came to be born later. These are fucking wild people.
Right, I sent you one, Davis, that says a divine formula.
Oh, good. Yeah, I'll find that. I wanted to go to the chat real quick because I noticed a question for you that I don't want to get away. Liebensraum asked, so there's no way you can get an allodial title and purchase a property at all? No, I don't think you said that. What you said was it's very difficult, but you should buy the property, make every attempt to own it outright, and then you can begin the process to acquire an allodial title, right?
Correct. You have to have ownership, no mortgages. But yes, you can get a loyal title. It's very difficult, and the states, you kind of have to fight them to get it. But it is something you can have in the United States. You just have to do your due diligence and be able to pay attorneys to do it, unless you're an attorney yourself.
Nice. I see. So it is possible. That's a good thing. Yeah, we shouldn't deny the good things. So that's something you can do. You might have to fight for it, but that's okay.
Well, I heard a story recently about a guy who he kind of learned through what he's going through. So he built a treehouse on his property. And then a county inspector came out to look at another building that they had applied for a permit for. Because when he went to the county, he asked, "Can I build a treehouse?" They said, "Sure." They didn't say that he required a permit or anything. So when they showed up, they went, instead of looking at the structure that had the permit on it, they see this beautiful treehouse, and they tell this guy, yeah, that's an illegal structure. And he's like, no, I went down there, and they told me that I could build a treehouse and that it's not an illegal structure. So, yeah, that's kind of what happened there. And then so what they did is the county continued to harass him over this structure, and they made him jump through hoops. They said, okay, well, we'll allow it if you can get engineering. So he went and got engineering, and he basically jumped through all their hoops. And eventually they tried to tell him that he would have to tear it down. Well, he made some comments saying, well, then my father had to step in. And by the way, he said, my father's Italian. And he went down there, and he said, we also have a loyal title. And by the time my dad left, nobody ever came back to our property or asked for any more information on my treehouse. It was now permitted and legal.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think that people who know laws and can use them to their benefit can take advantage of this allodial title and hopefully protect their properties from, you know, being taken away from them.
Nice. All right. Well, that's good news. That's a good news story. And yes, while we're taking the break for chat. Let's take a look at share this tab. Oh, there's this kid again. This kid wants to remind you.
Davis Lerman. Fuck you, pay me.
Mr. Lerman.
Fuck you, pay me.
Davis Lerman.
Fuck you, pay me.
Davis Lerman.
Fuck you, pay me.
Fucking pay me.
Davis Lerman.
Fuck you, pay me.
Davis Lerman.
There you have it. Yep.
Rabbi, you guys scratched me with my anger.
All right. I need a new mouse. Ah, gotcha. We heard you. Okay. I need a new mouse. All right. We were saying, oh, yes, let's go back to Telegram. You said you sent me a video called, let's go find it.
A divine formula. There's a few of them here. There's one underneath the Russian one that's called Noahide for Goy. That's a good one because, you know, it's a rabbi letting you know that the Noahide laws are going to apply to the Goy and not the Jews, and they are going to be implemented, and that's how the whole world is going to operate.
So it's not called The Plan Is Set. It's called The Divine Formula.
I wrote, my note says a divine formula on it.
Ah, I got it right here. Very good. All right. Now, wait a second. It's blacked out there. It won't play. See?
See, this is what they do.
Mm-hmm. Why won't it play? That's weird.
Oh, you know why? Okay, so it should play because it's in your thing. So that's strange. So this is a compilation of probably 8 or so rabbis letting us know about the Noahide laws that are coming. And that Trump is basically, you know, they kind of let you know that he's probably the one that's going to be imposing them. I said from day one, Trump, I thought it might've been DeSantis, but now I'm pretty sure Trump is the one that's going to impose the world Noahide laws. It's not just going to be for America. That's his job.
Interesting.
So I don't think he could be the Antichrist. And they are going to sacrifice the red heifers. They are I sent you a video on that as well. Oh, gosh, where is that?
I saw that in there, yeah. I think that one will play. Hold on.
That's a good one.
I'm looking on a different platform to see if these videos would play in a different platform. So let me see.
The one that's a divine formula, that one is just really, it's a compilation from No More News and See Through It All. Mm-hmm. And those guys, they spend all their time exposing the rabbis and letting everybody know what their plans are.
For decades, we've been taught as simple.
Okay, I do have a way to do this. I do believe. Hold on here. Let's see. All right, it appears I can download it from a different platform, and then I'll have it on my desktop. So that should work. But for now, we'll play what does play for us. We were saying, not hiding, not on the move again, never admit guilt. Oh, this. What about this one? We must discuss this, it says.
That is about Israeli IDF female officers and male officers raping Palestinian women and children.
Oh, that never happens, right. Okay. So right after we must discuss this, we got Oppressed Big Mike and further down on the move again, and then The Plan Is Set, Red Heifer. All right, so we'll do the Red Heifer thing.
Yeah, right. Do the Red Heifer one. That'll lead into the other one really well.
Oh, nice. All right.
Davis, are you playing something?
Oh, yeah, I am. It's not working? All right, hold on a second.
I'm not seeing anything on StreamYard.
Oh, good. I'm glad you said something. All right. It says it's playing on my end, so hold on. And clearly, I was seeing it. Let's see. All right.
Well, it's not playing.
What?
You there?
Yeah.
It's not playing.
Okay. Oh, it's not playing? I'm sorry.
No.
I didn't share the right screen. Jesus. Okay. I was watching it. I was enjoying it very much.
All right. Here we go.
Number one.
the red heifers are ready.
You hear
Number
it?
Two, the temple blueprints are ready. Number three, the Jewish priests are trained. Number four, and now we have the global figures possibly working behind the scenes to make this happen. What happens next?
So basically, if the red heifer is sacrificed in 2025 in April, and if the political conditions align, we could be looking at the beginning of something massive, the rebuilding of the third temple. And the moment the third temple is in place, we know that prophecy says the Antichrist will enter and declare himself as God, as we just read previously. We are literally looking at the final puzzle pieces falling into place.
Falling into place, right? This means people need to take this seriously. We're not talking about distant prophecy. We're talking about events that could possibly be unfolding right now, actually.
Yep.
They are unfolding right now.
Hmm. All right. Huh.
That's supposed to happen in April. So next month, around the 21st, is when they're supposed to sacrifice the red heifers. So what happens if they sacrifice the red heifers, they're going to take whatever their charred remains, and then they do their ceremonies. And then they've got Solomon's temple already almost practically built. This is when the Antichrist comes and takes his seat there.
Hmm. Oh, boy. Yeah, I heard all about the red heifers that some guy in Texas grew them for the Jews. I guess he's a real Judeo-Christian Zionist. So, yeah. But, again, this could also be... They could have the wrong prophecy. It could be the prophecy of the 80-year curse. So we'll see. We can hope. All right. So this is to reinforce your Trump's sent nukes to the Middle East.
This is not good news.
Definitely not. Yeah, this is the literal preparation for an assault on Iran.
Can they reach us over here? Do they have weapons that can reach us over here from...
No.
I really think they're going to aim it at Europe. Like, if they're trying to remove Europeans from history...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they could hit Europe. Now, I don't know the distance on Iranian supersonics, but that'd be interesting if they were platformed elsewhere. Maybe they could hit us.
I don't think Iran would hit us. So they're all part of this. Okay?
Well, we deserve to be hit.
Iran as well. Iran is part of this. Mm. Don't think for a minute that they have not been captured, just like every other government. They have. So, you know, they're part of this. And... the rhetoric that's going back and forth, you know, the wartime rhetoric, they're playing the game. It really reminds me of events leading into World War II. You know, that and you just never know which angle they're going to come in on you at. I think it's going to be something coming out of the Middle East, because that's what the prophecy suggests. That it's going to be something coming out of the Middle East.
Well, we'll see. I'm not one for Jewish prophecies, but I can see that was an interesting media package. And so this is like echoes of war as media spectacle in the media spectacle presidency. So more of the same. Look at this. Look how Hollywood this is. Ridiculous absurdity. Look at this. three camera shoots and POV. But nonsense. I suppose we're all supposed to get excited.
They want young people to get excited that they can go and use this equipment and
mm-hmm.
have all this technology. And it's awful.
Yeah, and if you give them $100,000 and, you know, if you survive, you get your $100,000. That could be the signing bonus, but it's very doubtful you'll survive.
If you look at people around the world, they're all for Trump, all of them. Okay, these are the people, not the government. They are also, but the people are for Trump. This is why he's the one that's bringing the Noahide laws. It has to be
in the guise of faux populism.
He's creating the world government for these fuckers, you guys. That's what he's doing.
I'm with Serbian Bull. Serbian Bull says, can only hope they hit D.C. Yeah, well. They'd be getting me then, but I suppose. Well, Delaware's not that close. You never know. I don't know. But, yeah. Either way, I kind of say we deserve it, but let's hope it doesn't happen at the same time.
Yeah.
We're awfully far away. Yeah, I know. Depends where they hit, right? But, yeah, unfortunately, there's always going to be good people get caught up in it. It's just, you know, something needs to – the game needs to change. I don't know how that happens. I don't pretend to have those answers, but all right, let's check the next video after Clasha gets some input. Clasha, anything to add on this?
Just that it's scary. I was just looking through that book by Eli James, The Great Personation, and in it, he talks about how Iran is, you know, going to be a participant in this, right? But I couldn't find the page.
Interesting.
I'm just sitting here flipping through it.
Ah, okay. Yeah. If you come across that, by all means, we'd love the excerpt. That's brilliant. Yeah, it's a good book. Excellent book by Pastor Eli James. Nice. All right, let's go to the next video.
During war, there is no mercy. When you are fighting an enemy, there is no mercy. There is no permission from the Torah to have any mercy.
All right, this says fatwa to kill children and women. So what is this we're watching? Is this propaganda? Is this what is a fatwa?
I don't know what a fatwa is because I have no idea. I don't know what that means. But I know that what he's saying is more important than the whatever that person is, you know, labeling it as. If you hear what he's saying, he's gonna tell you why he's there while you're watching him.
Okay, well, my understanding is a fatwa is some sort of declaration or whatever by some qualified Islamic leader.
It's usually
it's usually a call to action, but yeah, okay, so we'll look at this.
Isn't that guy Jewish?
Whatsoever.
I don't know what he is, but we'll listen to what he is.
I don't know what he is.
During war.
If you look behind him, it certainly seems to be Jewish. He's got a star, and he's got a wreath in the color of Israel, so I'm going to suggest he's a Jew. So I think the misinterpretation here, the misunderstanding is the person who put this together is Arabic, and they're saying this is a Jewish call to kill women and children, and the fact it's labeled fatwa to kill children and women is just terrible propaganda, but they don't realize that an American audience would misinterpret this as being a Middle Easterner calling to kill women and children. Like general, like Arab Middle Easterner, but instead it's a Jew. So let's hear what the Jew has to say about killing women and children.
Being an enemy, there is no mercy. There is no permission from the Torah to have any mercy whatsoever during war. Not on children, not on women, not on anybody. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says during war, there is no mercy. You may think you're being merciful to a child, but you're not being merciful to the child because the ideology that child will grow up with is even worse than the ideology of his father. Hence the reason why the Torah in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 20, verse 16, says, rules of war, lo techaye kol neshama. Do not allow anyone to remain alive. Nothing. No mercy. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 25, verse 19. Macho et zecher Amalek. Completely erase any memory of Amalek, which means men, women, and children, the Torah says, do not have the right to exist once we're at war.
Okay, well, that's pretty clear. Yeah, again, someone has got to speak with these Arab people about their propaganda. But I guess that'll never be me, so I don't know who's going to help them. Help them understand the American audience, and frankly, the UK audience would also misunderstand this.
I think they were just trying to point out that this rabbi is basically saying that, you know, the Jews are told in their Torah to kill men, women, and children.
Oh, I agree, but the problem is you've got, well, what is it? This is playing, sorry. I didn't realize this TikTok was playing in the background. Yeah, my point is people are going to misunderstand it. The average American is going to see this squiggly writing, the word fatwa, and be like, whoa, this muzzy is threatening me, but it's a Jew. But, yeah, unfortunately. Again, they really need help with their propaganda, but no one seems
they're
to
just, be a... They're naive. They don't know how to do propaganda. They're just trying to stay alive.
Mm-hmm.
They're not professional soldiers. They're not warriors, they're not propagandists, they're not politicians. These are women and children and elderly and some young men and some old men just trying to stay alive. They're trying to put anything out there to wake up everybody else to show that they're being massacred. And, you know, they're calling it a war so that they can continue on with what they're allowed to do in their Torah. They can't call it an occupation. You know,
yeah, they call
have
it
to
a war.
Call it a war. That's
why you
war
can be mercy.
Between two militaries. The Palestinians don't have a military. They don't have weapons. Who are they warring with?
Well, they have another. They have the Torah, then they have the Talmud, and then they have another book that tells them. And the next thing you know, they twist it around to say what they want to say, you know. So that's how that works. Yeah. Unfortunately.
Gosh, this house is noisy. Do you guys hear a lot of background noise?
Yeah, we do, because I don't put on the...
I'm so sorry about that. They just, I think they do it just for the show, you know, just so you guys know. They want to be part of the show, too, so...
Right, I was just saying, they want to participate.
Yeah, they do. He wants to get a hold of that.
That's possible.
Yeah. Well, you never know. Well, that's what a real household sounds like, so I'm okay with it. Occasionally, we hear Cooper bark as well, right? So that's all.
No, he was busy shredding paper. Cooper.
Oh, my dogs. I have two dogs. They both love to.
2 seconds.
They love to grab the mail or a paper towel, anything laying around. They love to shred it. Makes them feel powerful. Yeah. They love that. I can usually get it.
I just love animals. We went to the zoo today. We went to a little zoo that we have locally here. And it was just so cute and so clean. All the animals were so healthy and well cared for. And it was really pleasant to see. It's nice having, you know, a resource fairly close.
Mm-hmm. That is nice. Well, there we go. All right. Well, I'm going to go to the next video momentarily. And I say momentarily because I know Swampy hates that. And let's go to... we're finally getting to this one. This one is we have...
She was taken to sedate him.
Okay, we must discuss this. Okay, so let's see. All right, this looks already, they've improved the propaganda style. Let's go ahead and see. I've turned up the volume.
She was taken to Sedate Man, and she was nude searched over and over again and filmed, and then she was raped twice by Israeli male soldiers, two of them at a time, while videotaping her. We have also one testimony of a woman who was also taken. She says she was also raped by an inspection device by a female soldier more than once. They inserted the inspection device in her rectum. We have also one testimony of a woman saying that she was strip searched and they would beat her on her behind and they would humiliate her in front of each other. Most of the women also who were taken from Gaza, West Bank, and Jerusalem said they were beaten on their genitals, which has made us, you know, to conclude that there must have been a directive that's been given to the Israeli army to treat women in such manner, because in Jerusalem you're treated by completely different law enforcement than in Gaza or in the West Bank. But But all these women said they were beaten or the genitals.
And I could just add on about the women who were forcibly disappeared in Gaza. Like I said before, it was usually as they were fleeing south through the safety corridor, they were abducted at the checkpoint. Many were taken to the Zakim detention center and the Negev detention center, and all together in one large hall, forced to strip completely naked and just sit in this hall, the women with the amongst each other and the men amongst each other. And it's also been reported and known that Israeli civilians are invited to come to this detention center and mock the Palestinian prisoners while they're naked, photograph them, and watch them as if it's a zoo. So that's something that we've seen.
Also, when it comes to checkpoints, like I said, it's where the sexual violence happens and it goes unreported. So we have a testimony of a teenage girl who was made to undress a man because he refused to undress. They made her undress him, even though she's not related to him. She doesn't know who that man is. And while being searched and touched and molested on their breasts and on their genitals as well.
Okay. So already better propaganda. Obviously, they're speaking English, so that's good propaganda. You try to pick someone who's not difficult to understand and perhaps easier on the eyes to the average American viewer. So, like, that's superior propaganda. Of course, the content is horrible. Compare, contrast that with what Jews call rape. So if you remember, there was the Israeli POW released by Hamas unharmed, and she made up the story saying that staring is rape, if you remember that. I'll play you just the audio of that so we don't have to disturb the video clip we have pulled up.
I always try to explain to people that rape is a really big word, okay? It's not only the act. Even when a guy stands in the front of your door and you sit down and he's staring at you for 10 minutes straight, 5-6 times a day, every day, for 54 days, trust me, that's a rape.
Oh, okay. So to Israelis, they're so precious that when their captors stare at them menacingly, that's rape.
Rape is a really big word. It's not only the act. When a guy stands for 10 minutes straight, that's a rape.
Right. It's not only the act. Right.
Rape. It's not only the act. When a guy stands, that's a rape.
Oh, okay. So when the guy stares, that's rape. Okay. Well, let's hope not. I'll be, I'm going to be convicted on a lot of rape. Nah, it's no time for humor, I realize. But yes, this is your world court on Jews. They want to say they've been raped by Hamas because they've been stared at, but then they violate women, and it sounds like, and children, at checkpoints and when imprisoned. Yeah, I hate to wonder what's even happening to the children that are captured. It's really a horrific thought. All right, any comments on this really dark subject?
So I watched this whole, interview. These people, I think, were giving testimony. And the first lady, she starts to elaborate a bit more on some of the women giving testimony. And she said the things that were being done to them, they didn't even know how to describe, right? Because it's not something that's in their lives. Like, so they couldn't describe the level of, you know, them inserting things into their vaginas and into their rectums. And they didn't even know how to describe what was happening to them. To the investigators that they were speaking to. I think it was in reference to the naivety of these women, that the Palestinian women, and the level of abuse that they can't even really express or describe what's happening. First of all, they don't use, you know, verbiage like that, right? They don't. These are violations, you know, body violations and things. So you're dealing with very naive and women who cover their bodies and don't show their bodies. So they're not used to sexual behavior, blatant sexual behavior, blatant sexual abuse. So when they're experiencing it, it's even, you know, way more traumatic than, you know, here we know what a rape is, for God's sakes. A guy isn't going to look at you and you call that a rape. That is not a rape. Excuse me. And rapes are violent. And the reason that I think that these women are being raped by other by other women in the IDF is because the rape rate of girls in the IDF military is like 60%. 60% of women get raped when they're in the IDF.
Yeah, well, so, it's not much better in the U.S., but yeah.
No, it's not. But this is, you know, a prevalent mindset. You know, obviously, we all know about the raping. They fought for it and they've implemented it into their laws. They
oh, yeah.
like rape so much.
Mm. Yeah, 30% of female military, they report sexual harassment and all that. But over in Israel, yeah, it's really endemic. And of course, they're doing the people are captured. It's a whole other animal. What's this oppressed? Well, Klasha, anything to say on this dark subject?
No. Other than, you know, you're on Twitter, right?
Yes.
Right. Did you happen to see the thing that Chris Langen posted yesterday? You know, the smartest guy.
No, yeah, I know who he is, but I haven't.
It is remarkable. I was going to send it to you, but I couldn't.
Oh, that's quite all right. Tell us about it.
He was asked about Gaza. What do we think about the situation in Gaza? And it'll only take a minute. I can read it to you. But he said, yeah. A deplorable situation, to be sure, with plenty of guilt to go around. Remember, Middle Eastern race hatred and genocidal warfare go back millennia, and it's all Semitic, no anti-Semitism required. It's about an undying lust for revenge and extermination, often based on past conflict, and it was a terrible mistake for any European or North American nation to let itself be put on the hook for either side. It's a disease, or to resort to the ancient characterization of disease, a kind of spiritual blight or demonic possession. The entire area should have been quarantined, and all refugees admitted to Western countries should have been subjected to compulsory cultural and ideological assimilation or sent back. Then he goes on to say, when it comes to genocide, the natural first step is to consider any ongoing genocidal attack on one's own race, culture, and nation. Hence, Americans should be most concerned with the genocide being committed against white Western nations by those responsible for mass third world migration, which is now diluting the American majority and its genotype and phenotype out of existence. Among the most aggressive invaders are Muslims, and ironically enough, among those most aggressively promoting and facilitating their migration are Jews and Christian Zionists, who overwhelmingly favor and let everybody in policy were everywhere except Israel and Palestine, quote unquote, greater Israel. Because white happens to be a phenotypic trait of founding Western European populations, those responsible for this situation are by definition engaging in white genocide. By definition means that this is not a mere conspiracy theory, that's the genocide with which I'm personally most concerned these days, given that census data makes it absolutely undeniable, as in only a liar or an idiot could possibly deny it. America in particular is rapidly hemorrhaging its white population and being sucked dry by people who were invited for the purpose of population replacement and simply don't belong here. Their importation cannot be attributed to any labor shortage. Most of them don't work, as the jobs were long ago sent off to Asia by the importers themselves. Nor can it be attributed to compassion, the U.S. Constitution, or an insane melting pot fantasy cooked up by Zionist playwrights Israel Zangwill and his close associate Theodore Herzl in the early 1900s. National suicide is profoundly irrational, and completely vanquishing rationality takes a lot of money. What we've been seeing since the mid-1960s requires a tremendous amount of incentivization and behind-the-scenes manipulation. That kind of money and power is available only to those running the world banking and finance system and their global investment class. These investors and corporate executives and their well-funded corporations and NGOs are known to favor genocidal mass migration of primitive non-whites to all and only white nations, and they obviously favor it because the banksters and public-private corporatocracy have been making them rich for riding the PC bandwagon, thus closing the genocidal fat cat, sell your soul to the devil, circle jerk. These are the genocidal maniacs of whom we must be rid. And, I mean, that kind of outlines where I'm at, right? Like, we need to worry about us. We can't worry. You know, it's horrible. I hate it. Because I'm a human being, right? Mm-hmm. But, I mean, If we go, everybody goes. If whites go down, the world goes down.
I agree. That's why I'm here fighting for us.
Yep. So that's kind of where I'm at on the subject. That was a great thing you wrote.
Wow. Okay. Poignant, well,
for sure.
Indeed. Chris Langan. Yeah, I didn't realize he had. It is interesting, though. It almost seems, I suppose this is real because it's from his account, but look at the question. What do we think about the situation in Gaza? Isn't that strange?
Yeah.
It's not what do you think about. Anyway, I didn't know what to make of that, but I suppose the real Chris Langan is literally his account, so I'm just assuming that. Yeah.
He's speaking for a group.
Oh, I see. Yeah. It seems so, yeah. All right, well, we'll go back to, is this a palate cleanser here? Oppressed Big Mike. Uh-oh, is this referred to Big Mike, Michelle?
Oh, no, this is good. You should hear this. Okay. Everybody should hear this.
All right, we'll check this out.
So Dode uncovered a little bit of information about Michelle Obama. She's been getting $122,000 a month.
Whoa.
Since 2009 from us.
God damn.
Don't believe me? Go look it up. They found it through the GSA. I don't know what the fuck that is, but it says that that's like the checkbook of accounts, payments and receiving accounts. You know, it's the checkbook of America is this GSA.
Are you there?
Did we lose Davis?
I think we did.
Oh, no.
It's just us. He went dead. It happens. We might still be on the air, though. They might be able to hear us, just not be able to hear Davis.
Let's see.
Oh, yeah. They're saying in the chat he dropped out. Can you guys still hear us, Sir Randall? Nobody's responding. I don't think they can hear anything.
Oh, no.
It's okay. Ay. I guess Kathleen's busy tonight.
Is she the one in, was she in New Mexico?
Uh-huh.
And they were trying to take her land or something? Is that her?
It was something similar to that. They weren't really trying to take her land. They were trying to force an easement so that they could pretty much cross it whenever they felt like it.
Yes. Yeah, I heard a thing with her story, and it was incredible.
Yeah, she had a real round with that. That was rough. But she handled it, and she's ready to not be there anymore.
Oh, I bet. Didn't he end up putting her in jail?
No, they never did that. But they,
oh, they didn't?
So, no, if she didn't follow their court order, though, they did threaten her that they would do that. And that's why she finally, you know, negotiated a finish.
Yeah, it's been a while back that I saw her story on something I was watching. And, oh, my God, it was horrified.
Yeah, it's amazing. That was actually initiated by a Jew, believe it or not.
Well, I believe it.
It's just crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. In fact, they had sent a guy down there to mess with her or something from the village that I lived in.
Oh, really? Are you like in that area, kind of?
No, he was from Colorado.
Oh, wow.
Uh-huh. And where I lived is, I mean, there's maybe in the wintertime, maybe 300 full-time residents.
Oh, my gosh. That's not very many people.
No, and he was from there. I was like, oh, what the hell?
Small world.
Yeah.
Wow, I'm glad you guys were here. I was kicked out of the studio by accident, and you guys are still here, so that worked out.
Oh, yeah. We've just been chatting away.
Good. Perfect. Yeah, I probably need to shut up more.
I don't know that anybody else can hear us, though, because I asked Serbian Bull to let me know if he could hear me. Oh, wait. Yeah, we can hear.
They said they can hear.
Whole conversation.
Oh no! Yeah.
I dropped. That's what I said. Don't say any social security numbers or anything.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
Yeah. So did you hear, how much of the Michelle Obama payment video did you hear?
All of it.
Good. Okay.
$22,000 a month since 2009. And Doge, yeah, that's found right. And put a stop to it, they said.
That's right. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's one thing I guess we can thank Doge for. I was speaking and didn't realize no one could hear me, but there was that business of the magic money computers Elon reported on. If everyone remembers that clip, I saved the clip because you're probably not going to be hearing a whole lot about that ever again. Let's see. I'll go to the desktop and try to find this.
I'm trying to find the Elon one. I wonder if it's on my
iPad. Oh, here I have it. I'll just play this for people who wonder, like, how the hell does that happen or how the Jews pay themselves. Everyone knows about modern monetary theory, but the missing link has always been, okay, we get all that, and that's the Jews on the Federal Reserve, and that's some select Jews that are interfacing with Federal Reserve board members, so we know how they get paid. But how do the rest of the Jews get paid? That's weird. Well, here's your answer. It's Elon Musk talking to Ted Cruz.
Magic money computers at the Treasury. Yeah, well, so tell us about it, because I never heard of that until you brought that up.
Okay, so you may think that the government computers like all talk to each other, they synchronize, they add up what funds are going somewhere, and it's, you know, it's coherent. That the numbers, for example, that you're presented as a senator,
yeah,
are actually the real numbers.
One would think.
No, yeah. They're not.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, they're not totally wrong, but they're probably off by 5% or 10% in some cases. So I call a magic money computer any computer which can just make money out of thin air. That's magic money.
So how does that work?
It just issues payments.
And you said there's something like 11 of these computers at Treasury that are sending out trillions in payments?
They're mostly at Treasury. Some are, but there's some at HHS, there's one or two at State. There's some at DOD. I think we found now 14 magic money computers.
Where 14, okay.
They just send money out of nothing.
There you go. So as you can see, the GSA is the General Services Administration, which includes the Smart Pay program, and that's associated with the Treasury, that interfaces with the Treasury, and that's the magic money computers Elon was just discussing. One of those computers, once a month, was sending that money to Michelle Obama. And what it's doing the rest of its time, 24 hours a day, is sending money out to Jews. So that's how, now the circle is complete. We figured it out. What do we do about it? I don't know. Probably a blanket of ash would solve all of this, but we're far from that. But I thought that was an important clip because, again, you're never going to be hearing about that again. So far as I understand, that's what they like to call a slip-up in the social engineering business. Yeah, unless this is all, again, some op to completely befuddle Americans or have them lose total confidence in the reserve currency. I don't really know why they do that. So it's one or the other. All right, any comments before we return to Telegram for the videos? Well,
they want us to lose confidence in all of our institutions, you know, because that way then they can bring in the new system.
Well, they're doing a great job of that. I'll give them that.
They're doing a fantastic job.
Oh, yeah. In fact, they're like the best at it. No one's better, really. Anyway, sad to say. All right, we're at the 10 o'clock hour. Last time I let it slip by. We're about to go to the T to the Gram and play the evil video, how you know somebody's evil or has evil tendencies. But let's not forget to hold on a second. Right.
Fuck you, pay me.
Oh, okay, you get the idea. Let's just go to, where's that kid? Oh, there she is. Right, here you go.
Davis Lerman.
Fuck you, pay me.
Mr. Lerman.
Fuck you, pay me.
Davis Lerman.
Fuck you, pay me.
Davis Lerman.
Fuck you, pay me.
Fucking pay me.
Davis Lerman.
Fuck you, pay me.
Davis Lerman.
Uh-huh.
Mr. Lerman.
Davis Lerman.
Davis Lerman.
Let's go donate some money, okay? Yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes, yes. This might be one of the worst things I've ever done, okay?
Davis Lerman.
Daisuke, 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 Daisuke. Rock and roll. Saranghaeyo.
It will.
I love you.
Daisuke. 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 Yes, yes, yes. Daisuke. Daisuke.
I don't know what that is. Let's go donate some money, okay?
I'm hungry. Kitty paws.
Thank you so much.
The right perspective. All right, and just as we transition to the remainder of the content for the show tonight, just remember that our fight for Jew free is not free. Those of you who think we should risk everything exposing the enemy of white people everywhere and work for free, not very different from Jews, really. So support what you want to see more of in the world. What you support doesn't go away. What you don't support does go away. So donate now. And let's not forget to thank everyone who's done so far. Let's see. All right. No updates on that. And we go back to T to the Gram sharing now. Let's just make sure we have video. Excellent. Okay. We do. We do. And we continue with how you know somebody has evil tendencies. This might be useful for a lot of people, in fact. When it's not playing... All right, hold on. We're going to refresh. Let's go up. Something tells me this will be like very similar, a lot of overlap with narcissism, maybe. Those are popular, the videos about how you know someone's a narcissist or whatever. Here we go.
Here's how you know somebody has evil tendencies. And this is a simple law that has held throughout history time and time again. It states the most dangerous people never have regrets, only explanations. And what that means is, well, do you ever notice how some people never admit when they're wrong? How they always have a reason, an excuse, a way to twist the situation so they're never at fault? How they act like the victim, even when they're the ones who caused the damage? Now compare that to someone who actually owns their mistakes, someone who doesn't twist the truth to look good, someone who doesn't make excuses, but instead makes things right. One of them is always justifying. The other takes responsibility. And so if you want to know if somebody has evil tendencies, don't focus on how they hurt you. Look at whether or not they justify it.
Okay, yeah, well, you think of world leaders like Winston Churchill and the like, always with the explanations and the justifications, never with the, ooh, sorry we got that wrong. Yeah. Anyone have anything to add on that? We'll take that now.
I think that's in reference to the Jews, Davis. Sorry.
Oh, I see. Well, yes, it certainly could be.
They never say, oh, gosh, you know, we made a mistake. We're so sorry. We didn't mean it. Instead, there's always you're anti-Semitic, some kind of an insult. They never debate or discuss. They never admit, and they have absolutely no conscience. I think that's what the reference is for.
I understand now. Right. Well, so, yes, Churchill and Jews, which is sort of, I repeat myself, clash of anything on the how you know somebody has evil tendencies.
No.
Okay. Very good. Well, I'll just add that Jews do something, a third thing besides just justify and double down. They do a third thing where they just raise some sympathetic cause like the Holocaust. So, for example, when Albert Bourla was being asked difficult questions about the mRNA vaccine and the fallout people are experiencing, the physical maladies and all of that, he went into a story about how his parents escaped the Holocaust. So this is very common. Or when Alejandro Mayorkas is asked too many hard questions on the floor of the Senate in a Senate Select Committee, and he says, well, I'm offended by that question. Don't you know my parents barely survived the Holocaust? And so this happens. That's a third thing. So, yes, he could make this entirely pointed at the Jews if he just added that third element. So, yeah, good video, though. No doubt. All right, we'll go to the next.
Breaking news, people. Manchester, Cornwall, Scotland and Wales have all got massive wildfires. Now, I've been living in the UK my whole life. We don't suffer wildfires. In fact, if you check out wildfires in the UK, it says that 90% of them have to be man-made, i.e. arson attacks. But what does Scotland, Wales, Cornwall and Manchester all have in common, guys? I would like my clever old followers to just put it in the comments for anyone that doesn't know. Because this is a planned attack. It's literally burning all over the UK right now. We don't get wildfires in the UK. It's even saying on the news that the one in Scotland is definitely arson. Anyone in the UK knows that we are not hot enough to get wildfires. So what is going on, beautiful people? This was just for entertainment, and I'm as fictional as a dinosaur, baby.
Oh, I see. Right. Okay, well, that's awfully, if true, awfully bizarre. The news stories about that as well.
So I think they're scheduled to be smart cities, all of those cities that you mentioned.
Mm-hmm. Well, that would make sense. You know, you got to clear them out. That's sort of destructive capitalism. Mm-hmm.
I've been comparing a lot of the photographs from the burnings in Japan after they dropped the A-bomb on Japan in Hiroshima.
Mm-hmm.
And also some of the World War II, the firebombings of
Dresden and whatnot.
Dresden, yeah. Thank you. And they look, the destruction afterwards looks very similar to what we're seeing after these fires.
Hmm.
Burned buildings, but standing trees. It's very strange. It's eerie how similar it is.
Yeah, that is wild. Boy, oh boy, oh boy.
I might put something together on that because I'm starting to get quite a bit of information. So I might put a little something together and put it on the
show. Yeah, that'd be cool. Nice. All right, Clasha, anything to say about the fires in the UK as a parallel to the wildfires in the US?
Well, that's crazy. I hadn't heard about the fires in the UK until just now.
Yeah, I'm assuming it's real. Again, I don't know if there's been any corroborative news stories. Not that they're always right, but with that dude's weird disclaimer at the end, I sure would feel better about knowing if this is actually happening. He just, at the end, he kind of said, you know, none of this is real. I'm as real as a baby dinosaur, and then shouted out. So that's strange.
Hmm. Yeah, that is weird.
Yeah, again, maybe it's...
Well, he's just, dinosaurs aren't real, are they?
No, but this is what I said. He says...
Just for entertainment, and I'm as fictional as a dinosaur, baby.
Yeah, so again, he's saying, like, that was for entertainment, it's fictional, so I don't know if he's using AI images in the back. Anyway, if it's happening, it's awfully strange, but I don't know what the pedigree... No,
I think there's fires.
Yeah, well, they probably are, yeah. That wouldn't surprise me at all. But at the same time, I just have to warn everyone watching it that we're not sure about it, so read everything, yeah. Watch everything, and then check it out for yourself. All right, let's go to the next. Here we go. On the move again. Oh, no. We have to move again. Oh, I see. Again, terrible propaganda. We put this music to it. Half America doesn't care.
Davis, it's not propaganda. It's just people who happen to have cell service that day.
Oh, I know, but someone who put it together has clearly assembled it with a soundtrack. And
no, TikTok does that for you.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Boy, oh boy. On the go yet again. And then Israel likes to say, look how these people love to live, which they do. They put them in these conditions, they're, and then they put everyone.
Look how they live. They're being bombed again during a ceasefire.
Yeah, of course. They're just running for their lives. Mm-hmm. And then Jews will use this to, Jews will use this to say, look how these people live, like rats or whatever. They love to do that. Mm-hmm.
At least Connor, rats have houses to go to.
Well, that's true, too. They have little hovels and crawl on the walls and stuff. Khan has a grandson. Oh, I was saying Khan has a grandson says that the guy who made that last video might be just saying that because he doesn't want to be imprisoned or whatever. So, yeah, it's possible.
Yeah, I think they have to give it. And also so that the video doesn't get removed.
Ah, that's another thing, right? Right, right. If you put it under entertainment or something, and then it stays on longer. That makes sense, too. Yeah. Interesting. All right, let's go to the next video. Oh, that's the heifer. All right, let's go to the next video. Oh, this was wild.
Oh, this is good.
Yeah, this is crazy. They're putting on, like, faux quarter panels.
Taking a video, bro.
Look at this nonsense.
I got pictures. Fuck.
Yep. New people hiding out in there. This one's got a pillow under it.
Oh, wait.
Jesus, God, that's so crazy. Wow. I guess
that's how they used to move drugs back in the 80s. Expect people to be in there. I guess people are better commodity now.
10 grand per person. You know, it's big dollars. And they rape them. You can rape them before you put them in there. There's a lot of upsides for the coyotes, unfortunately.
That was a full-size person, though. Two of them in there, right?
Yeah, they were curled up at the knee. So I guess they had to either cross their legs across each other's knees because we could only see up to the knee, or maybe they had to bend their legs back.
How could they do that? You would not be able to put me into that thing. I would literally freak out.
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, thank you.
There is nowhere on the planet that I'd want to go bad enough to do that.
Me either. Yeah.
I couldn't even imagine it. I mean, they literally, before, they could just walk right over the border. Right? There was nobody around. They could just come right over.
Yeah, no, this is elaborate now. They're really going all out.
Yeah, wow. Those two must have really needed to come in.
Imagine how hot it would be.
That's what I'm thinking. I cannot handle being overheated, so you could never stick me into. I know you're in, and all the bumps on the road and.
Oh God, yeah. Not to mention it could be a car accident. Imagine an accident.
Oh yeah, somebody sideswipe you, T-bone you. You're done deal.
The metal crunch is on you.
Blood coming out of the panels.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Your truck. Yeah.
You did to my truck.
Yeah. Like that movie Christine.
What a morbid thought.
Yeah, it's horrible.
We're laughing.
Oh, yeah. Laughing at the Mexican expense.
Couple here.
Yeah. Well,
that'd just be two less people selling elotes at Home Depot.
That's right. These girls are going to go work for Tuber on the weekends. Yeah. So, yeah.
They heard he's white.
Good God. All right, next video.
They never told you it was venom. I didn't know it was venom. I looked it up. What kind of drug is this? Oh, it's a GLP-1 drug. What the hell does GLP-1 drug mean? Never heard that in my life. Holy crap, it comes from the venom of a lizard? I want to ask you, all of you at home, how many of you are convinced that you or your loved ones are overweight and diabetic because you have a Gila monster venom deficiency?
Oh, I see.
And oh my God, God forgot to put enough of that damn Gila monster's venom in your body and you ran out. Now you're fat and overweight and you're diabetic. So now you need to inject that venom inside your body every week, once a week.
Oh boy.
This is the insanity you live in. This is the deception you live in. Just because they called it Wegovy and Ozempic and said it was FDA approved, did I go, oh, it must be safe and effective. I don't know why these people's stomachs are being paralyzed and why they say they're going to develop cancer in their thyroid after a year. Really? Go look it up. I didn't know anything about this drug. It didn't even exist when I graduated school. How did I go on platforms like the Diamond and Silk Show the very next week? We bring this up, and I'm educating the whole world about this drug. And then everybody's calling me, wanting on their shows to talk about, oh, my God, it's another drug made by Venom.
Oh, okay. Wow. This guy's...
Yeah. Yeah, he can go on a lot. That's an artist.
Yeah, I love him. Mm-hmm.
That's pretty wild.
He's a little wild and dramatic, but what he says is really, it's a fact. I mean, obviously, it's what's happening.
Well, if you ask me, Diamond and Silk could have used this this Ozempic, but...
Wait, didn't one of them die, though, after the COVID shot?
Yeah, yeah. I wonder if they died from the reptile venom. You never know. Maybe they started this.
I thought it was illegal to mess with Gila monsters.
I saw one today at the zoo.
Really?
Oh, boy.
I was like, oh, that's what it comes from. Interesting. Weird looking creature.
Well, I'm sure it is. It's probably is illegal to mess with them. But as you know, Big Jew Pharma is they're able to get the exceptions because he who grants the exception is the one who makes the rules. And so you see who's granting exceptions is Jews for Jews. So that's why that happens. Indeed, indeed.
How could anybody think paralyzing their stomach is
It sounds like a terrible idea.
I just don't get it. My trainer just came back from Europe, and she looks so thin. This woman is like 5'11". And she's got a very strong muscular body.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 5'5" and maybe like 130 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
She is as skinny as me now. And her muscles are gone. It's freaking me out looking at her.
Oh, did she take this stuff?
She's been taking it, yeah. She's like, I'm the thinnest I've ever been. I'm like, and she knows that it's going to cause... issues with her bone density, her muscles. She knows about all of it because she's a health fanatic. So she's aware of all the risks. Yeah,
so she didn't really need to take it even, you're saying. She didn't need it.
Well, I mean, she was probably like, you know, she had one of those kind of big bone bodies. When you're 5'10", 5'11", it just kind of, your body's just kind of like that. You're a little bit bigger than everybody else. But she wanted to, I guess in her mind, she wants to be a, you know, little gal. And she's gotten to a point where she's so thin that I know it's starting to scare me because she's my trainer. I don't want to lose her.
Good God. Yeah, that seems kind of crazy. I think after you alerted me to this, I looked it up and they said that the Ozempic is bad for everybody, but it's worse for people who don't need to take it, but take it just as a weight loss thing. So evidently when it's actively fighting the side effects of diabetes and all of that, at least you're burning up this reptile venom and the other cocktail that you're injecting on, you know, the systemic causes of diabetes. But if you're already sort of a normal weight, you start taking it, that's when you really get the side effects of the brittle bones and the loss of bone density and the blindness and all of that.
Well, the reason that this happens is because your body, if your stomach becomes paralyzed, it isn't able to process food anymore. Your body starts eating itself.
Of course.
Yeah. So this is what's happening to them. And I mean, who would think that a snake venom or a lizard venom or a Gila monster venom could be beneficial in any way? And the way that they're fixing diabetes, you were saying about how it helps diabetes. Well, the reason diabetics are diabetic is because they're eating too many carbs. If you don't eat carbs, that means, you know, basically everything we eat becomes a carb, everything, except for meat and fat.
Right.
Eat all fruit, most vegetables. If a diabetic wants to be non-diabetic and not take any insulin, all they can eat is meat, fat, and lettuce.
Or IV drips, right?
So. No, you can eat, but you have to, you know, control yourself. And if you're going to eat a little bit of a carb, you know, a half a potato or a banana, You got to go exercise. You know, there's things you can do. So the way that these diabetics think that they're being healed or fixed with this and why they keep taking it on a weekly basis is because now they're not putting the carbs in their bodies because they can't. They have no appetite. So this is how it's helping diabetics.
By paralyzing their stomachs. Yeah.
By paralyzing their stomachs so they can't put the carbs in the stomach.
You remember that video, the series of videos we played from that girl who was supposed to have a record contract and her Jewish producers told her to take it because she was too fat. Meanwhile, she was really pretty, I thought. And now she just looks really weird and she's got the brittle bird bones. Do you remember her? I forget her name now.
Yes, I do. I sent that to you. And she was really young as well. So she was like,
but that's like an example. Yeah, she was young, but that's an example of what might happen to your
bone density and your body.
Your trainer might end up with that.
She had osteoporosis, like a unhealable osteoporosis or something.
Yeah, like 70-year-old bones. Yeah. She had like 70-year-old person bones at her age.
I would rather weigh 300 pounds. I'm sorry. I would rather weigh 300 pounds. You know, I'm going to break your chair when I come over. Sorry.
Yeah. Then.
Instead of,
the same result on your bones as chemo.
Yeah. Oof. Yeah, chemo is pretty damaging.
Yeah.
So it's like it's a fast track to like chemo bones. Unbelievable.
Right. I shrunk an inch within a year. Just because of my bone density after chemo.
Oh,
it was
worse.
It was funny because I was already short. I couldn't afford to lose an inch, you know?
You're shrinking. Goodness me. Wow. Well, see, you're a powerhouse. You beat cancer as well, so there's no stopping, Clasha. Yeah.
No.
I had a friend of mine, Clasha, who he was clergy in the military, our military in the Army. And when he was going to leave, he didn't continue to stay in because he kind of made himself a lifer. But he was waking up to the world and to religion, and he decided he didn't want to be a Protestant priest anymore. So before he walked away from the military, they gave him a bunch of jabs, vaccines. And within 2 months, he had pituitary cancer.
Oh, yeah.
So I know you mentioned that you were in the military. Did you get a bunch of vaccines and stuff when you were in the military?
Tons.
Yeah.
Tons. Yeah. And I ended up having cancer when I was 38.
Wow.
Well, yeah.
But you're here and you're doing great. So you beat that Jew shit. Fuck that.
Well, that's only because I'm like doomed to just be here with cockroaches and Twinkies. Right?
That's how I feel.
That's pretty good.
Well, more power to you.
Yeah. God. Yeah. Remember that Zombieland movie where the Twinkies survive? That's right.
Right.
Wild. That is funny shit. Okay. Well, let's go to the very next
Chick
video.
Chef made a funny comment. He says, your girlfriend is lying to you. I'm not sure what's the whole thing here, but it says, out in the garden, laser focused and chain smoking. I don't know what they're talking about here.
He's over at FTJ, you say?
No, this is on Odyssey. Mm-hmm.
Oh, right. I'm sorry. Kick Chef. Yes, yes, yes. Okay, I see that now. Yep.
There's something going on there.
Excess protein will kick you out of ketosis. Your body eventually turns it all into fuel for muscles and the brain for muscles and the brain or fat. Just a matter of how much processing it takes. Again, that makes sense. Excess protein technically also turns into sugar eventually.
They're healing a lot of cancers these days with fenbendazole and other anti-parasitical cleanses.
Whoa. Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's wild.
Yeah. And I went to the chiropractor the other day. This is what I do for preventive, so I don't have to ever go to these medical doctors. So I went to the chiropractor, and I noticed that he had this entire presentation, because this guy's alternative everything, right? He had this entire presentation on heavy metals. So I started looking at it, and I got up and I started pulling through his pages. He had, you know, like a not a whiteboard, but pages on a, I don't know, a thing that he was flipping in order to have all of this information on. So like a big pamphlet, but it was gigantic, like poster size. So I started reading it all, and then I asked him about it, and he said, yes, we can tell you exactly how much heavy metals you have in your body by doing a palm scan. He's like, it's very high tech, it's very new, and it's been created like in another country, and they had it there. So I had to go and get my blood type, because I have no idea what my blood type is, so that I could get my palm scan, which I think I'm going to do tomorrow, to find out how much heavy metals I have in my body. Because we all have it, right? You know, we heard that show the other day on G-Man's show, right? And he was talking about all of the heavy metals that pretty much are in vaxxed and unvaxxed people. They're just in all people now because they're finding it in every waterway, you know, every stream, every pond, all the rivers, the oceans. It's literally in everything. And so it's pretty much what we are being sprayed with all of their chemtrails. And that's why it's in all of our bodies. So he was telling me how they're curing all these cancers, even pancreatic cancers and UTIs have been proven. So there's a research facility, I think in Pennsylvania or somewhere. It's an all-female, all-women's research facility, only doing UTIs, trying to figure out why these women have UTIs. Well, a parasitologist or a something like that, somebody who specializes in parasitologists, they specialize in parasites, right? But she also went in to run the laboratories there. So being that she checked everything for parasites, she started checking all the lab work that was coming through her with all these UTIs, and every single one of the UTI cases had parasites also. So she went and did a huge report, was going to publish a study, and then was fired by the organization. They wouldn't let her release the information because it was done within their structure. So they took her work. But she basically, she figured out that UTIs, the reason women don't heal, and these are 60, 70, 80-year-old women that keep getting them, they don't heal because they're not treating the parasites that are causing them. So then the same research goes on, and she has published now independent studies on she took red blood cells out of just average people, like lined them up and said, can I have your blood? Put it under the microscope and can identify, and has recorded, I have the videos, a parasite in every single red blood cell. In our bodies. We all need to do parasitical cleanses, just like they do in other countries. You know, we have pets, we eat sushi, we eat fresh vegetables and fruit, and bugs put their larvae inside of that, and we eat it, and then that larva's in our bodies.
Well, some parasites, I imagine, are benign, so there's probably different types of parasites.
I don't think that parasites should be in your body. Now, bacteria is something else, right? Your gut biome, that's a completely different story, and that's a bacteria. So there are good bacteria, but I do not believe there are any good parasites. You know, when we were kids, they showed us videos of or movies. They were movies then, on a movie projector. Bugs in your eyelashes, right? And then the dander that falls off of you, things like that, right? That's the kind of bugs they talk about. But no, those are on the outside of your body. We shouldn't have parasites inside of our body causing damage to our vital organs.
That makes sense. Yeah, I don't know enough about it.
Amongst bad bacteria, right, which destroys your gut biome, which basically controls everything, even your brain function. Talk about stuff like this. Go learn some of this stuff and make shows about it, because people want to hear these things. They want to know how they can stay healthy, heal from some of the things that we're being exposed to on a daily basis. You know, on top of trying to figure out, like, I was thinking Florida has passed a bill or they've got a bill in play. Ohio, Louisiana, a couple of these places, I think there's a few states, Arizona, have passed laws through bills that they're not allowing the spraying over their states anymore. So the chemtrailing. So what I was thinking is possibly here where I'm at in California is going and finding the bills that they used in these different states and just taking that verbiage and putting something together and applying it towards here in California to see if I can't stop it somehow by presenting a bill. If they were able to do it in other states, why can't we do it in every state?
Well, I imagine you could, yeah, but you generally model legislation needs a sponsor, or you need to be able to.
They have precedent. It's already happening in other states. Why can't we just use what's already happening in other states to set precedent? Here's the verbiage. We're wanted applied here now. It's already applied here. Why can't we apply it here?
I'm just saying the political reality is. Yeah, I just mean the political reality is you need a sponsor or someone to take interest in it, or generally you don't know any of the people to do that, so you need the ear of a lobbyist, and so you need money, and this is the reality of it. Unless it's something that runs on its own steam, but even then it's lubricated with the money of it all. So the Jewish, the pro-Jewish model legislation, like Kristi Noem had, the anti-Semitism legislation, that kind of thing. So yeah, even that's funded at some level, but yeah, that's just a political reality. It's like that cartoon about how a bill on Capitol Hill goes through all the steps. Anyway, it's just a political reality to it, but I'm not saying you couldn't do it. I'm saying maybe you know someone who knows someone who could take an interest in it, and that's how it gets introduced to the floor through sponsorship by a politician.
I thought I could guilt some Jew into helping me do it.
Oh, that's not very likely. I don't know how you guilt a Jew. Because that's impossible. How do you guilt a Jew?
they claim that they're on our side, right? And that they would choose America over Israel. I think it's about time that we put it to them. There's plenty of Jewish attorneys out there that, hey, I want you to present this bill. I want you to get this politician involved. I mean, this is how all this shit is done. They push each other around and they make each other do it. So, you know, if they're going to claim they're in our country, where do you stand in our country? Do you stand with us as Americans and you're going to stop this, regardless? Do you have children? I'll go find somebody who has children. Do you want these things to be dumped on your children? It doesn't have to be a Jew thing, right? Mm-hmm. It's a we're human beings, we want to breathe thing. So why wouldn't I be able to convince a good, even a Jewish politician? Those are the only ones we have to choose from.
Right.
Why can't we guilt them? You have children. Look at this shit. They're spraying it every single day. Are you pretending you don't see this? I mean, there's got to be a way to be able to, psychologically force them to do things like they psychologically force us to do.
Well, you would hope, but like I said, I'm not being negative, but good luck. I'm just saying, it doesn't seem likely. If I had to put money down on, will guilting a Jew into doing something have success? let's just say I'm not putting my money on that. I'm just saying, yeah, it's fucking Jews. All right. I found it. I found it, Clasha. Here we go.
We have words, little itty bitty words.
We've got words,
we can think of little words.
Do you remember in Eden when Eve said, let's get feeding? Now all of a sudden they're scheming and feeling all jealous and greedy.
Is this the song?
Yes.
Okay, good. I'm just making sure.
But there wasn't no serpents.
No, sorry, there weren't. Even Adam had worms, so wondering if it was worth it. Now with knowledge forbidden, Yahweh said, are you kidding? Another alien invader, good luck. I'll catch you later. There are worms in our butts, and they're driving people nuts. We have worms in our butts, they keep messing everything up.
We have worms, little itty bitty worms. We've got worms, wriggly, wriggly, wriggling worms.
You know, those pharaohs in Egypt, well, you'll never believe it. They worshipped kitties whose feces was filled with wormy diseases. And snakes on their crowns when you look at them upside down. It's the parasite hiding in plain sight. Like some suspicious traditions, a priest to bite the baby children. It likes to ride in saliva. It's why you kiss the bride. There are worms in our butts, and they're driving people nuts. You have worms in your butt, and they turn you into a slut. Ever wonder why you're cranky or craving old hanky-panky? It's these worms in our butts, now we become completely cucked. We have worms, little itty-bitty worms. We've got worms, wiggly-gly-gly-gly worms. We have worms, little itty-bitty worms. We've got worms, wriggling worms. Did you ever learn about the Knights Templar? They had a fruity ritual to be a member. When your turn was up to be inducted, you had to kiss another knight in his buttocks. Ever wonder why there's more and more pedos? It's the wormy squirming in their heados, like the bugs who's brain through infecting. So they climb until the birdies ingest them. As the wormy birdies fly into the sky, the pedos spread the parasites. If you doubt this massive deception, just try and mention ivermectin. There are worms in our butts, and they're driving people nuts. We have worms in our butts when you listen to your gut. It's the viral hive that's hiding inside your host intestinal lining. Why these worms in my butt keep on telling me what's what? We have worms, little itty bitty worms. We've got worms, wriggly worms. We have worms, little itty bitty worms. We've got worms, wriggling worms. There's a reason you're consuming all this sugar and drinking lots of booze and using hookers. When Rowdy Roddy put on his sunglasses, he suddenly could see their wormy asses. Cause lurking right outside our dimension, the hive mind is dying for attention. So it sent us as a present wormy minions to eliminate all human opinion, while vying to conspire with each nation to spread contaminated radiation. Can't you tell we're living on a plantation for millennia? We've been in that rain. There are worms in our butts, and they're driving people nuts. We have worms in our butts, they keep messing everything up. There are worms in our butts, and they're driving people nuts. You have worms in your butt, they've turned you into a slut. Ever wonder why you're cranky or craving anal hanky-panky? It's these worms in our butts, now we've become completely cucked. There are worms in our butts, and they're driving people nuts. We have worms in our butts when you listen to your gut. It's the viral hive that's hiding inside your host intestinal lining. All these worms in our butts, politicians got a lot. We have worms, little itty bitty worms. We've got worms, wriggling worms. We have worms, little itty bitty worms. We've got worms, wriggling worms.
Right. Wow. Okay. So there's the explanation, everyone. My wife will be relieved to know. Okay. I can stop leaving her alone and soon get rid of the worms in my butt.
Boy, yeah, just got a really good parasite cleanser.
Yeah. I get a parasite cleanser. She's going to ask. Butt. Yeah. He's going to ask, am I cheating
butt
on her?
Everywhere else but your butt.
Oh, brother. All right. Well, listen.
Yeah.
It's crazy. All right. Here we go. Like I said, I'm going to take a parasite cleanser. She'll be convinced I'm cheating on her. So, here we go. All right. Let's watch this video. Uh-oh. This one won't play. Interesting.
Were you able to figure out that other one?
Oh, yes, in fact. Hold on. Yep, I can do that. Let me do this right here first. Occasionally we have, the divine formula, right? Okay, let me go find that one.
A divine formula.
Mm-hmm. We must discuss this. Okay, this must have been down here.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, the chlorine dioxide. I know, although that's for me. I already watched that. Mm-hmm. Okay. No antibiotics. Okay, instead, let's do this then. Let me go over here to stop screen, and I'll present. Let me see if I found the video file. It should be on my desktop. Let me go see here. And, it appears I'm incorrect. It did not download, unless it went to downloads. Hold on.
That this one was a, I had to send this to you like five times, and I tried to email it. This one, they did not want anybody to have.
It's crazy.
So if you have a hard time opening it, because like I'm able to open it, and it's showing it coming up in my.
Who does Esau/Edom?
Right, let me try this. You said, there you go. Did you hear that?
Yeah, we were able to hear it.
Ah, but not see it. All right, let me try this then. So let me go to. Okay, share screen. Let's try a window instead of. No, it's not here. Isn't that crazy? Oh, wait a second. I think it's there. All right, here we go. Ah, this might be it. Yep. Here we go.
Present today and what will happen to them in the end times.
Are you seeing it now?
Oh, so that's really easy. So Edom is Christendom. It is the implacable enemy of the Jewish people.
The concept of Esav as Edom and as Rome was changed, transformed into a religion. So therefore, any nation that has that religion can be considered Esav. See? So therefore, it's not one nation that is now 2,000 years or whatever, but it is a religion, and any nation that has that religion predominantly is called Esav. Christianity, of course, ultimately became Western civilization. So Esav today is really Western civilization. Because Western civilization is basically Christian. And therefore, that is considered to be Esav.
Esav, who became Edom, who became the Roman Empire, which metamorphosed into the Christian Empire, which became Christian civilization, which is now represented by the United States of America, will suffer a crushing, humiliating defeat.
Esav is everything that's wicked in the world, and it's the Edom. Esav is Edom. It's the final kingdom of the four kingdoms. It's the greatest, most implacable enemy of the Jewish people. Prophesy. We have whole books devoted to the destruction of Edom at the end of days. This is the last kingdom. In traditional Jewish thinking, it's the church. It's the implacable enemy of the Jews. It's a morphing kingdom. It's unlike the previous kingdoms. It begins as Rome, and then it morphs, becomes Christian in the fourth century, and then it divides and divides and divides.
So who's Edom? Edom includes most of Europe. It includes the United States of America. It's the Roman Empire that was never destroyed.
Edom becomes America. Why? Because America is Edom, after all.
Esav, who in modern day terms is really basically, certainly one of them is America.
But for those of you who don't understand that Italy is the seat of the Roman Empire, of Edom, even though Edom is scattered, many other nations today that speak Latin languages that have something of the Roman Empire, including America, they are first. So Edom is everywhere, and the United States of America is also part of Edom.
Malchut Edom, which includes all of America, Europe, and some of the Western Quarter.
Who becomes the children of Esav? All of a sudden, it shifts now. And we talk about Galut Edom as whom? As Rome, and eventually Western civilization.
The Edomites are the descendants of Edom, who is also known as Esau, Jacob's evil twin. Our tradition tells us that the Edomites are the ancestors of the Romans, and indeed of all Europeans and the entire Christian world.
These people are nuts.
I have one thing to say.
Yes.
If it's not all of them, who the fuck are these random 10-plus guys talking to? Aren't they preachers?
Yeah, they're speaking to all the Jews, yeah.
Yeah, so if it's not all of them, who are they fucking talking to?
Yeah, it's all of them, yeah. But we know it's all of them because where's all the good Jews they keep telling us about? Where's the good Jews who are fighting in Israel against what Israel's doing? They're not. you get your occasional optics kike in America, somewhere on Staten Island. They have some kind of parade and they hold the sign, and now we're supposed to think,
code
oh, there's
pink.
Some
we have yeah, code pink
bullshit
here,
like that. Right. Yeah, it's bullshit.
And Medea, she's Jewish, and she pushes the mixing.
Who?
Medea, she's the one that they always video record on Code Pink. That's her name.
Oh, I didn't know that.
She's this little mousy-looking Jew girl, woman, and she's, you know, supposedly defending Palestinians, but, you know, she also pushes the race mixing and everything else.
Oh, yeah. Yes, yes, yes. And, yeah, you can tell what's going on here. They're speaking to all Jews, and it filters on down. Jews have a very interconnected community, and we don't know what that's like, so this would be strange to us to consider, but yes, all the Jews get the message. It filters on down.
And they're not Israelis, these rabbis. They're all English-speaking with English accents, most of them. There's a few of them, like, with Bronxy accents, New East Coast accents.
Yeah.
So these aren't Israelis, okay? These are English-speaking rabbis talking like this. To their congregations.
Yeah, some of them in New York. They're probably dual citizens, but your point
they're
is
all
still.
Over the place.
Yeah, they're all over the fucking place. Interesting, interesting. All right, well.
The point is, this is what's being discussed, and this is their message to their people in our country.
Yeah, their message to the Jews.
In America.
All right, Clasha. And everywhere, really, yes, but clearly. This is emphasizing America because they keep making mention of Western civilization in America being part of Edom, Esau, or whatever they call Esau. Yeah. Talking about evil twins, and these people are nuts. Clasha, anything on this?
They're insane.
Yeah, they might have the worms. I think they definitely have the worms.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
You know, I think another good place to get like real good Jew news is go to the Jew News, read the Jerusalem Post.
Oh, yeah.
And stuff like that. I get on there once in a while, and I'm like, oh, my God, because they don't think we're going to read it because they think, you know, Goyim are stupid. So they hold nothing back. It's really interesting.
If you want to know what Donald Trump's going to do next, literally, all you have to do is go to Haaretz and the Jerusalem Post and read their op-ed drops because those are placed there intentionally, and they craft the future narrative of the Trump administration. Which is how you truly become Jew wise. So yeah, read Jew for Jew literature. Earlier we had a video from the Cradle. The Cradle can be pretty good. Tablet magazine has dropped off. They used to be more informative, but you can stick with Haaretz and the Jerusalem Post for sure. Jewish Telegram's another one. JTA, Jewish Telegram Agency. Yeah, read your Jew for Jew press if you want to know what's going to happen next and what they're up to.
There's a Go lot ahead. Of articles in the Jerusalem Post and Haaretz, both from rabbis in Israel saying that the Americans need to have their weapons taken away.
Right, after they're done using us.
You can find those articles there as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Did you see what Colorado just did with semi-automatic weapons?
No.
Oh, they banned them.
Semi-auto weapons?
Yeah.
Oh, brother.
Yeah, Colorado, it just passed the House. Well, it's going to Polis's desk now.
Oh, God.
It passed, I think it was 36 to 28.
Oh, brother.
Yeah, that was the other day.
So now we have to hope for a veto, but that's not happening. It's going to go through. All right.
Not with Polis. He's a Jew. Exactly. He's a faggot.
Oh, brother. Wow. I guess they got to do that because they said, oh, look, we took the bad migrants away. Now you don't need your semi-auto weapons. So,
oh, they flooded them back in.
Oh, they're already filling those apartment houses back up, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, on the fingers.
Yep.
Yeah, this is the presidency of media spectacle. So, of course, you get the spectacle and the hollow notion of them being returned. And so you think, oh, problem solved. That's placebo politics, everyone. This is what I mean when I say it's faux populism. He's pretending to give you what you want, and you're pretending to accept it as truth, and everyone gets to go back to sleep. That's what Trump is here for. and a few other things like doing Israel's bidding, of course. So let's watch the next video.
For decades, we've been taught a simple story about our origins. Humanity emerged from a single African cradle and spread across the globe. But what if this long-held belief is just a piece of a much larger puzzle? New discoveries are challenging the very foundations of our understanding of human evolution, from ancient fossils to cutting-edge genetics. Evidence is mounting that suggests a more complex and intriguing narrative. So, what's really going on? What's this new evidence revealing? And could the Out of Africa theory really be debunked? Stick around, because you won't want to miss this. For over a century, Charles Darwin's Out of Africa theory has been the cornerstone of our understanding of human origins, rooted in the presence of African apes. At its heart, this theory suggests that our species first appeared in Africa around 300,000 years ago. Now, this idea wasn't new per se, but it did quickly become mainstream, with almost everyone agreeing to it, especially because it is supported by fossil evidence. A good example is the fact that the oldest remains of Homo sapiens were found in various parts of Africa, especially in places like Jebel Erud in Morocco. These fossils were quite important, as they gave us a look into the past and allowed us to understand what life as an early Homo sapien must have been like. From these fossils, we can tell that early humans would have faced many challenges, from hunting food to surviving in diverse environments. But most importantly, we could tell that it's in this African landscape that they began to evolve and refine traits that distinguish us today. It was the cradle of life, the first home to complex thought, culture, and the beginning of technology. It, however, may also have been a lie all along. See, it's not what happened in Africa that matters most, but what happened next that defines Out of Africa theory. According to the theory, between 100,000 and 200,000 years ago, some of these early humans began to venture out of Africa. Contrary to what you would almost immediately believe, this journey wasn't a single organized migration, but likely a series of movements driven by the changing climate, search for resources, and perhaps the innate curiosity that defines our species. As they spread into new territories in the Middle East, Asia, and eventually Europe, our ancient ancestors soon found out they were not alone. They soon encountered other hominins, our evolutionary relatives, who had left Africa much earlier. For instance, Homo erectus and the Neanderthals had already established themselves across Eurasia centuries before early humans even began stepping away from home. So what happened to these evolutionary cousins? Well, the traditional Out of Africa view held that Homo sapiens either replaced these archaic populations or outcompeted them, gradually leading to their extinction. This was the general belief that we spread from Africa like a wildfire and quickly outcompeted the rest and conquered the world. But recent evidence has now begun to complicate this picture, suggesting that instead of outright replacement, there was some degree of interbreeding. Genetic studies, for instance, show traces of Neanderthal DNA in modern non-African populations, hinting that when these early modern humans encountered other hominins, they didn't always compete. They sometimes connected on a more intimate level, leaving a lasting genetic legacy. But here is the big question. Where have we gone wrong all along? Did humans actually come from Africa? And if not, where did they come from? Stay tuned to find out. At first glance, the Out of Africa theory seems like a neatly wrapped gift, reliable and universally accepted, almost like the law of gravity. But when we dig a little deeper, we start to notice that some things don't line up quite as perfectly. Ironically, one of the biggest controversies surrounding the theory is also its biggest source of support. In a surprising twist, recent discoveries are revealing fossils that don't fully match the theory's predictions. This new evidence is prompting scientists to rethink and redefine what we thought we knew about our origins. So, what did they find? Discovered in 1966, but was not identified until 2022, the discovery of Ubaidia vertebrae in Israel is perplexing, and one of the most fascinating discoveries that throws a wrench right into the Out of Africa theory. Dating back about 1.5 million years, this vertebrae is the oldest evidence of ancient humans in Israel, and somehow it actually predates the well-known Homo erectus fossils found in Manisi, Georgia, which, by the way, are around 1.8 million years old. See, this is quite the big deal, because up until now, the Manisi fossils were considered the earliest evidence of hominins outside of Africa. But with the discovery of Ubaidia, this timeline had shifted in a very fascinating way. This discovery's significance is not just because of its age, but also because of the size of the individual it belonged to. Let me explain. Analyses of the vertebrae reveal that even as a child, this individual would have been as tall as an adult Homo erectus from Manisi, with the potential to grow much larger as an adult. After hearing this, your first thought must be that scientists have discovered giants. But this size difference actually suggests something quite different. It points to the presence of two distinct types of early humans outside of Africa during this period. This finding indicates that different hominin groups were exploring new regions simultaneously, rather than as part of a single, unified migration. But the fossil wasn't the only thing fighting the out-of-Africa theory, because support for the idea of multiple migrations also came from comparing the tool technologies found at the two sites. In Manisi, the stone tools followed the expected Older One tradition, which are simple flakes chipped off stones. But shockingly, the tools found in Ubaidia are from the early Acheulean tradition, which are essentially more advanced tools, like hand axes, made from volcanic rock. This contrast in tool styles makes no sense, because how does the older fossil have more complicated tools? And while we grapple with that, the tool difference points to cultural and technological differences between the two groups, essentially strengthening the case for separate migrations. Now, you might say that one fossil alone shouldn't be enough to crumble the whole theory. And you'd be right, but here's the thing. It's not just one fossil. When you hear about a single fossil challenging a long-established theory, it's easy to dismiss it as a small anomaly that doesn't have much impact on the bigger picture. And in many cases, that would be a fair point. One lone fossil might not be enough to overturn decades of scientific understanding. However, in this case, it's not just one fossil. The fossil in question is part of a much larger body of evidence, multiple fossils, genetic findings, and archaeological discoveries that together create a much more complex picture of human evolution than we once thought. And one of the other fossils that truly stands out is the Petrolona skull and the controversies that came with it.
I have a feeling this is going to tell us that, let's say, white people came from one type of proto-hominid, Jews came from a different proto-hominid, and Negroes likely came from a third, more primitive proto-hominid, something
ding,
like that.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, I've heard these theories. Yeah, and they're again, it's all coming together. Either way, the out of Africa theory is just it has zero cachet left. Even in the academic community, that would tend to favor that sort of approach. There's a book called Not Out of Africa, it's something like how Afrocentrism became an excuse to teach myth as reality or something, or myth as history, I think. It was an excellent book, even though it was written, and I do warn you, it was written by Mary Lefkowitz, but still it's an honest academic treatise. If anyone wants the rundown on the, the out of Africa myth being deconstructed, way back when, I think this book is from like sometime in the 1990s, I recall. But anyway, there's a lot of other books that cover the similar thing. And this would explain a lot, almost like the old root races idea. Why are people so different? Well, they probably had different origins. That makes a lot of sense. So an Occam's razor type approach, where the obvious thing is sort of the most explanatory, right? Interesting. All right. Anyone, any takes on that? All right. Here's what we'll do. We will take a look at the chat. Let's see. We've not taken a break for chat in a bit, so we'll make sure we do that. Going over here to stop screen, present.
Can I make a plea for support?
Oh, sure.
So I urge everyone out there, I know it's the end of the month and we get paid on the 1st and the 15th or the 30th and the 15th.
Oh my goodness.
Great.
He's telling you. Please donate. And I'm screaming it. So it's really important to support what we want to continue to hear. It's really important to allow Davis to continue with this platform and to support FTJ Media and Money Tree Publishing. But mostly, if there's a few of us here, if we all just put in $5, $10, he gets to his goal of $80, which really isn't it's not a gigantic goal, and it should be fairly simple for us to be able to supply that to help him out so that we can keep listening and keep participating and keep getting information and try to stay ahead of the game. So please try to support as much as you possibly can. Even a dollar helps. So thank you for doing it when you do. And also thank you for watching when I'm on. I appreciate that.
Oh, yeah. No, you guys have a lot of super fans out there. Sometimes they write and they say, oh, thank God you have these ladies on because I wouldn't listen to you otherwise. Anyway,
they do not.
Yeah, seriously, no, I got one like that just yesterday. But I'm glad for those kind of emails. That's actually good. Yeah, it literally means that, yeah, we try to do it. Well, with the exception of Monday and Tuesday, I try to do a different show every day. And I think, yeah, ladies' night is really important because the show is yours. You can invite on who you want, and we discuss what you want. And it's the only way you're going to get a legitimate female perspective. I don't think it's not really a man's role to sit here and be like, well, as a white man, I'm going to tell you what all the ladies are thinking. Anyway, so instead we have the ladies on and they give their perspective. So I think it's important.
Thank you. We appreciate being able to use our voice to
wake
people up and give as much information as we possibly can.
Mm-hmm. But it's not just any ladies. We do have, when I say you've got super fans, I mean it. So like, Luke thinks you're both badass. People quote you, you're quotable. They think you're based, and those are all big compliments in the white, pro white community. So good for you girls. Good for you ladies, I should say. I don't mean to denigrate you calling you girls.
Aw, thanks.
Yes, indeed. All right. So let's do the following. We'll make this the – oh, Clash, anything to add? If not, we'll go ahead and wrap up.
Yeah. Buck you, pay me.
There you go. All right. There you go, everybody. So Bushmaster, yeah, there she is. Bushmaster did contribute earlier, so did Always Honest. So here's this here.
The first word is
always
honest.
You do you.
Women have always honest. Served to keep America strong and free.
Always
honest.
Always
honest.
Right.
I am
always
honest.
I am always
honest. I am always
always
honest.
Right. And then Bushmaster, we said you don't know. Here it is.
Bushmaster.
Six.
A.
Bush.
Fish.
Six.
A.
Bush.
Master.
The A says A.
Six.
A.
All right. I'm looking quickly, making sure I didn't miss any. Loading. Let me see. Did I miss any? All right. No, it looks like. Please let me know if I'm missing yours right now, but it looks like Bushmaster and Always Honest. That should be the wrap for it. Very good. And over at Odyssey, let's see. Note just some final comments there. Very good. All right, everyone. We can leave with, I suppose we could leave with the theme song, which is really just like a pasted together series of drops. So here we have it. All right, everybody, till next time. And that means next Thursday, but of course I'll be back tomorrow. And tomorrow I'm just going to try to shoot the shit. We're going to talk about things like the worst jobs you've ever had. I'll bring some body cam videos. I don't know how intense we want to make Friday night anyway. So we'll try to make it casual and I'll see everyone then.
The first word is
always
honest.
You do you.
Women have always honest. Served to keep America strong and free.
Always
honest.
Always
honest.
Clash.
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 Right.
Clash.
Right.
Clash.
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 Right Perspective Radio.
And it was so, so powerful.
Thanks for watching. Bye.
Davis Lerman.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Bye.
One purpose, one people, we are rising. One purpose, one people, we are rising.